much about.
All right! Is this Godhead or what?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
It's hip, it's happening. Anyway, today is History Month, and this is a reminder. Hope everybody got their flu shots, and Rite Aid, in a lot of places, are actually giving them out for like $20-25. Just show up and you get a flu shot, but you got to pay $20 or $25, but it's first come, first serve. What about our Jewish fans out there? They're out there. We know you're out there. We love you, and we love Canners, but Canners every night, my favorite restaurant, even though they raise the prices.
And now.
That's right. Turn on that cassette, press record, get those tape recorders queued up.
Our feature presentation.
That dude exists and works.
Well, that and guy. Here.
Here.
So who do we blame?
That guy.
That'd be us.
Talks like that is on the air.
All I know is today is History Month.
Regularly, and today is History Month.
So that's good to know.
He is the greatest broadcaster of our era, and I won't hear otherwise. No one is more entertaining with fewer words than Rodney Bickenheimer.
That is absolutely true.
Just mind-boggling. You hear him and you go, no, nope, this is The Onion, this is some kind of joke, this is, you know, there's no possible way this guy is real.
Look, this is the beauty of the entertainment industry in general, is that you can be grandfathered in from a job if you do it well enough when you're younger.
For a little bit of time, yeah.
Right, if you can make any kind of impact, it's like Joan Rivers. People always say, oh, Joan Rivers, she's the comedian's comedian, she's been doing this for 40 years, and she was doing it when no women were doing it, and she's a pioneer, and she's an icon. So that gives her a free ride. Now, when she blows and isn't funny at all, people will still put up with her shenanigans because at one time she was significant.
Long before I was alive, though. I mean, I
know that
she's been
was
old and unfunny since I can remember.
Right.
I know that Rodney was significant. Was he ever good?
Oh, God, no.
Okay. Just checking.
But there was a time in radio where the weirder and quirkier you were, the more you sort of stood out and it was sort of more impactful.
Especially here.
He's got that working.
Yeah.
He does have that working, standing out.
The station used to be the anti-radio station where everyone was sort of an oddball and a weirdo and stuff, and that's how they made their claim to fame.
And he owned a nightclub here in Los Angeles, which was
massively popular.
It was the place to be.
Yeah.
When stars came into town in the early 70s, Lennon and David Bowie and those kind of people, they would go to Rodney's English Disco. That's where they would hang on the Sunset Strip.
Rodney, what was it like in the early days?
That's Love, featuring Arthur Lee, lead singer of Love.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't write that. Burt Bacharach wrote that song.
Huh.
But okay. Arthur Lee wrote most all the songs that Love did.
Okay.
Anyway, that was My Little Red Book by Arthur Lee.
All right.
And that was a song that Jim Morrison heard on the radio and goes, we gotta sound like that.
Yeah, he goes.
In fact, it was Arthur Lee that actually booked the Doors to open for them when Love headlined the Whiskey A Go-Go. Arthur Lee brought
the
Doors to Elektra Records.
Can't believe it ever happened and then stuck to tape.
What can I say? Maybe the people will be the times between Clark and Hilldale. That's the street off Sunset Boulevard where the Whiskey A Go-Go is.
Right.
It's still there, but not the same.
Right.
But,
okay.
Nothing is.
Remember one time.
All right, listen.
I had David Cassidy from the Partridge Family.
Okay.
And Bobby Gillespie of Primal Scream on my show.
Mm-hmm.
And we got a phone call from Arthur Lee.
No,
he
you
called in
didn't.
Spoke to him, and Bobby Gillespie was on acid. He was on kind of on LSD.
He was kind of on LSD.
And, it blew Bobby Gillespie's mind.
It's a yes
basically.
Or no, isn't it?
That was his idol, Arthur Lee. When I was a kid, I was in the 4-H club,
all
and I
right.
raised pigeons.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
I had these like classic pigeons, and so did Arthur Lee. He collected pigeons.
You don't
as
collect
well.
Pigeons, by
them.
The way.
We talked
he
about
does.
All these like
you
really
raise
rare
them or keep
pigeons.
Them. You don't collect
these, like,
them.
They're called Russian fantail pigeons. They look like little tiny miniature turkeys, but they were pigeons. And Arthur had those too. And we talked about the old days, and we talked about mm-hmm. how I was addicted to to Diet Right Cola and sunflower seeds.
Yeah, then he went to rehab for that.
First came to Hollywood.
Tough addictions right there.
So anyway, as Bobby Gillespie and Arthur Lee were talking and stuff, we somehow managed to get together with a band from Santa Barbara called Citrus Groove. So Arthur Lee got together with Bobby Gillespie from Primal Scream and Citrus Groove and recorded this song, one of his songs, Arthur Lee's song on Love, Flash on You. And here it is, Rare.
How many songs a show do you think that dude plays?
Just that one.
Of those stories.
Just that one.
That has to be the longest introduction ever recorded.
And he brings in like 170 albums. I'm not exactly. He brings
just
in a
case.
Shopping cart of albums.
He's loaded.
Just in case, but he doesn't have time. Once he does an intro, he's out of time.
You know, I couldn't help but think of Rodney Bingenheimer last night. I went to see an advanced screening of Pirate Radio.
Yes.
Which is a movie about these DJs in the 60s. Who were broadcasting rock and roll music off the shore of England because the government ran BBC radio would only play popular music like an hour a day. So they would play rock and roll 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and they became sort of the outlaws of the broadcasting world.
It looks great.
And you see all these weirdos, these outcasts who really have no place else to go, so they end up in radio. And I think that's the era that Rodney came up in. Yeah.
Would he have fit on that in that movie? That
yes, he would have, yeah. There was a Rodney type character
out of here,
in the movie.
Heading back to LA.
Okay.
From my home, my apartment.
Right.
It's kind of loud sometimes.
Sure.
And don't forget anyway, I'll talk to you next Sunday.
Compelling. It's the only word I can come up with. Time for your phone calls, 1-800-520-1067. It is Kevin and Bean's What It Do.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or 1.
What it do, what it do, what it do.
What it do, nephew.
So, what it do.
What it do, nephew.
Just for calling today, you get a pair of tickets to Weezer, January 11th, 2010. So weird to be talking about that year already, but we are.
I'm already writing 2010 on my checks. Just to get used to it.
Just get used to it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be at the UCI Brenn Event Center. Weezer Snuggie, you also get, and a copy of their new CD, Ratitude. So those tickets go on sale Saturday at 10.
Oh, like Ratitude. They have Ratitude like me. I'm rad. Ratitude.
All right, let's begin with Gus.
Ah, Gus.
Hey, Gus.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Good morning.
Good morning.
The comment was about that my neighbor was actually had his dog out, and the carrier, there's a postal carrier going to deliver the mail.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy told her, you know, go ahead and put your dog away. And the lady was like, no, you know, just a little mutt. I can't believe you're scared of a little mutt. Okay, finally, that guy ended up not delivering the mail to the lady. Yeah. And he came around back to his vehicle, and the gardener came around the same time, and the dog ended up biting the gardener. Can you believe that?
The dog bit the gardener?
No, I'm sorry. The dog bit the gardener. There you go.
But what happened to the mailman in the beginning of your story?
He was laughing. Yeah, because he was telling him, put your dog away.
The mailman was proven right by the situation.
Right. I see.
We have to get some phone screeners for this show. We really do. Someone has to be able to listen to these stories before we put them on the air. So we don't have any more, see, the mailman was right stories about the dog.
I thought it was me. I thought, didn't this start with a mailman?
Bit someone? That is news.
All right.
We get Anderson Cooper on the phone.
Let's go to Jesse. Hi, Jesse.
What it do, nephew? What it do, baby boo?
What it do?
What's going on?
Hey, on Monday when you guys were talking about the BYU girls soccer game, I didn't hear you guys mention anything about the girl who got her hair pulled trying to grab the other girl's lady business right before she got pulled down.
I don't think I saw
that. I didn't see that either.
The girls, sadly.
One would elbow the other one in the stomach, and then the other one would elbow her in the back, and then eventually she grabbed her by the ponytail and threw her to the ground really violently, but I didn't see the part grab.
But we will go back and look again.
Yes, we will.
I didn't see anybody throw anybody into a labia lock.
If that happened, I would give her credit for throwing that girl down.
I would too.
Yeah, you know? I agree.
That's not.
Yeah, there's certain regions you don't grab.
There's no room for that in sports.
Yeah, it's right before she gets her hair pulled.
All right.
Okay, we know where to look. Yeah.
All right.
Cool.
All right.
Okay, cool.
Thanks.
Thanks for the tip.
Describe what region I'm looking for.
let's see. Let's go to Eric.
Yeah,
Eric.
Hey, Eric.
Hey, what it do, nephew? What's up, baby boo?
What it do,
Eric?
Man, you guys are bagging on Rodney, man. Come on, that's Rodney on the Rock, man. He's the one that put K-Rock on the map.
Yes.
Yeah, true.
But now he's bad.
Did you hear that?
Oh, no, he's not bad. Come
Did you
on.
Hear that?
Huh?
Did you hear what we played?
Absolutely, man. When I hear that voice, it just puts me in a calm, tranquil-like state, and I think K-R-O-Q.
You're so gay.
That's you what we want so to do. Gay. Put you in a calm, tranquil state.
Cranky.
Sorry,
touch me, I'm going to scream.
Dude, we gave Rodney his due. We know he's a pioneer, but maybe his time has come.
But I'd like to see them play.
Or gone.
How about
I
the horse?
Yeah, well, you're just wrong. Well, what are you going to do?
You can hang out with Rodney at Cantor's Deli, and he can tell you all his stories.
Cantor's Deli. I'll have to Google that one.
Yes. Good luck.
Check him out.
He's there every day.
He's a big Rodney fan. He's going to have to Google Cantor's. Place Rodney talked about every 5 minutes of every day of his life.
That and Sunset Denny's, right? Rock and Roll
sure.
Denny's. That's
yeah.
where you can find Rodney.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Let's go to Stephanie. Hi, Stephanie.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Good. What to do?
What to do?
So, the other day, I go on a date with Sky, right? And it's our first date. I would go eat, and he starts getting a little antsy, and he says, isn't it funny how you can never poop anywhere but home? And I say, yeah, that's funny. And he's like, I think I'm going to have to stop by my house. And I was like, oh, ha, you're funny. And he totally goes home.
So, he had to go
home. He totally goes home. And, you know,
yeah,
we know what he did.
Takes care of business.
But
yeah.
Was he just trying to get away from you?
No, he totally just went and he's like, please wait right here. I'll be right back.
Right. I've said that before, too, and then I never come back.
He left you at the restaurant? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, he came back.
Okay, he came back then.
So you sat at a restaurant and waited.
How long was he gone?
Well, we had to stop by his house on our way. You know, we were going to go miniature golfing.
Okay.
All right, you went miniature golfing.
Okay.
And he made you sit in the car while he went into the house?
Yes, and he totally took a dump. Like 30 minutes later, he came back.
30 minutes? That has to be an exaggeration.
Like, yeah, and I was like, oh my goodness, is he serious? And he totally did it.
Well, obviously he was very serious, or else he wouldn't have had to run home.
Well, yeah.
But he came back. I mean, well, look, when you got to go, you got to go. What did you want him to do?
Well, I don't know. I didn't think he was going to do that. I thought he was kidding.
Yeah, well,
God
of course
forbid someone has to go to the bathroom for you, Stephanie. I see. But sorry, princess.
But he has to go to his home.
Some people can only do it at home.
Know. Well, what is that? I mean, how is that going to play out in their dating
That's
life?
That's what I'm saying.
Well, he'll go before he takes her out.
Like he did that time?
Uh-huh.
Maybe this was an emergency. Mm. Maybe it was the fear.
You need to move on.
I agree.
You need to move right on.
You do not need
that kind of action. Thank you for the call, Stephanie.
Wow, you guys are rough. The guy who just has to go to the bathroom.
Well,
he loses his girlfriend because he has to go to the bathroom?
And he's got
to
do it at home.
Look,
that's a problem.
There's a ton of people who can only go at home, number
Well, what
two.
Do they do when they travel?
I have no idea. Right, maybe we should open the phones and take those calls.
Maybe we should.
Because I'm not one of those people. But I know there are people who do that.
He doesn't say, hey, why don't you come in and watch TV for a minute? I have to use the restroom or whatever. He leaves her in the car.
Who knows what's inside his house?
Bye-bye.
You don't know what people's lives are like.
See ya.
One, if he has a really small apartment, he doesn't want to invite her in because
he's
going to
blast it.
that's so gross.
But it's true.
And I had friends that used to ditch school because they wouldn't be able to do it at school. They had to go home.
There's
Ralph's right. I'm not one of those people, but there are a lot of people who can only feel comfortable enough to do that at home.
I prefer not to, if I can.
Well, of course.
I try to go on either ends of my day in order to avoid going publicly somewhere in a store or even here at work or in a restaurant or something. But there are some times where, you know, you have to. And some people have a phobia.
The fear.
The fear.
Talk about that.
Mike can only go on his parents' lawn, apparently. That's what we found out by that story.
Right behind a plant.
That's
where he goes.
He has to fertilize their lawn every once in a while.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
All right.
Nope.
Mr. Skin will be on the program.
He is skinfamous, the work that he does.
He's skintristing.
He sure is.
He's got a new book out we're going to talk about.
Is it a skincyclopedia?
Yes, it is.
What a coincidence.
We have Jay Moore on the program
today. All right. He's always funny.
We have a listener who we need to talk out of being a whore or continue into being a whore. We're not sure which way we're going to go yet.
I can get behind that.
We have Weezer tickets for you as well.
Oh, we like the Weezer.
Coming up during the show, we're going to give you a chance to earn those. Might have to check in with Sean Connery today.
Yes.
And
happy Sean Connery.
Always happy.
Yes. Yeah. He's
and
a delight.
The Wheel O' Bad Animal Voices.
No back.
Yes.
More exciting than ever.
Not on Veterans Day.
You cannot
Day.
Stop not on, those
look,
animals.
In honor of our fallen vets, let's take a day off of the wheel of animal voices.
Do animals die on that day or just cease living or just hang out? No, stuff happens.
That's
even
right.
though it's a holiday, man.
I don't know what you just said.
I don't either. Perfect.
Oh, that's a good time song.
Perfect.
Oh, that wakes me up.
That is very summery.
That is great that to get out of the bed and jump in the shower and dance in the shower and slip and fall and crack your head open kind of music.
It's the world famous K-Rock at 5:54. Kevin Abid Show. Ralph is here with the showbiz.
Oh, not a good week to be an ex-big man for the Los Angeles Lakers. I don't know if you heard or not, but Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's got leukemia.
Yeah, I did see that.
And Shaquille O'Neal's wife has filed for a divorce.
Oh, really?
She did it here in Los Angeles, by the way, even though they live in Florida. Because you get a better deal here in L.A. if you're abroad. How about that?
But even though they're
trying to get max cash.
Right.
Max cash, by the way, used to be my old radio name.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
But if they lived in Florida, you can just file anywhere you want just because
they
have
a
laws?
Home here.
I think they did live here and
for a while,
so... Wow. They may have even gotten married here, for all I know.
Yeah.
Because let's say they've been married for just under 7 years. So he was probably here then, right?
Yeah. Yeah, he was here. I don't know. 2001, 2002.
Yeah. Was Shaq with the Lakers then?
Yeah, oh yeah. They won championships then.
Yeah, yeah.
But so he married Shawnee here, probably, in California? If they got married 7 years ago?
He came to the Lakers in the late 90s, so like 98.
Right.
So he probably,
they probably married here.
Did. Anyway, just saying. It's a bad week.
Not great, if that's what you say.
There we go. You know, auditioning is tough. Anyone who's ever done any sort of acting knows the hardest part of the business is auditioning. Getting up in front of people and reading off of a script and trying to get them to like you enough to give them a job.
Yeah.
It's tough for all actors, even rock stars. John Bon Jovi says he is giving up acting. He's done a little bit.
He has?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, he wasn't bad either, actually.
He's done a couple movies and some TV work. But he said the audition process is just too emotionally devastating. His latest rejection was a show called Criminal Minds.
Right.
Where he auditioned for a guest starring role that went to Gavin Rossdale. And he said, just screw that.
It had to be a singer?
Yeah, apparently they were looking for a rock star.
That's so funny.
He didn't
So John qualify. Said he'd rather just write a song. He's fine being a full-time rock star. Thank you. No more acting for him. He doesn't like the feeling of being rejected anymore. He doesn't get the gig.
Well, he's way past that in his music career.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. That's so got
to
be hard.
Why go step back?
Yeah.
Speaking of television, interesting list from Forbes magazine today about the top 10 moneymakers on television. Interesting list.
The actors and actresses, you mean?
These are all TV performers, not necessarily actors and actresses, but they all perform on television. And this is how much money the top 10 moneymakers in television make.
Right.
Number 10, David Caruso from CSI Miami makes $9 million a year for that show.
Wow. Kidding.
Just for pulling his sunglasses down.
Wow.
Saying, looks like this sheep pulled the wool over my eyes.
Yeah! That is pretty typical.
Yeah.
$9 million.
Hugh Laurie from House.
Yeah.
Makes a well-deserved $10 million a year.
Wow.
He's number 9 on the list. Number 8 on the list, Jeff Foxworthy.
What?
Makes $11 million a year.
Is he on a show?
Aren't you smarter than a fifth grader?
Oh, yeah, he hosts that.
Yeah.
He makes that much for that?
Yep.
Wow.
Kiefer Sutherland from 24 is $13 million richer every year. He's number 7. Howie Mandel makes $15 million a year for deal or no deal. Number 5, the Office star Steve Carell makes $20 million a year for that show.
Wow. Good for him, but wow.
Two and a Half Men star Charlie Sheen makes $21 million a year. I believe he is the highest paid actor on television.
Okay.
Makes $21 million a year for Two and a Half Men. He's 4th on the list. 3rd on the list, Ryan Seacrest. Between American Idol and his various production, TV productions he has with his production company, makes $38 million a year.
Wow.
Donald Trump makes $50 million a year for Celebrity Apprentice.
I thought that show was like on its last leg and barely and almost canceled. $50 million.
And Donald Trump, I said that already.
Yep.
And number 1, Simon Cowell, who between American Idol, of course, and America's Got Talent, and his other production ventures, makes $75 million a year on television.
Per year.
Per annum.
That's just ridiculous, really.
Each calendar year, he has 75 extra $1 million in the bank.
So you're saying if he spent all of last year's money,
then this year
another 75,
he'd make a brand new $75 million to take that money's place.
All right.
That's how he lives his life.
Hmm. Okay.
That's the kind of money he's making, is $75 million.
He could buy bigger shirts with that amount of money.
Yeah, and better haircut. You know who doesn't have that kind of money? Nicolas Cage, who apparently is flat broke.
Oh, no, really?
Oh, yeah.
He's been an actor for 20 years.
He owes the IRS $6 million. And he apparently is out of money.
Wow.
Interesting story about why he may be out of money.
Yeah, why?
He has about 20 different homes that he's starting to sell off now. Three of which are castles.
Awesome.
He owns two islands that he's purchased. He has two yachts. How many yachts do you need?
How many islands do you need?
Well, maybe if you have one yacht, you can take it from island to island. I can see that. But you can't be in two yachts at the same time.
Dude, you need a backup yacht.
He's got a jet. He's got his own jet.
Do you have a backup jet?
I don't believe so. He owns 50 different automobiles.
50.
He spent well over $1 million on comic books.
Okay.
And recently spent $250,000 on a prehistoric dinosaur skull.
All right, he's a little crazy.
He's got a lot of collections,
apparently. He's not broke. He's cash poor.
Yeah, because he could sell, a yacht.
He's trying to sell his homes now, and apparently he's taking it in the shorts compared to
what
he bought them for.
Yeah.
But I'm sure that dinosaur skull will move at a brisk price.
That's pretty rad.
It's rad if you're Simon Cowell.
Yeah.
If you've got $75 million to spend, then pick yourself up $250,000 dinosaur skull. Yeah, feel free. But not if you got tax issue problems and you have no cash.
Not practical, but it's pretty rad to say you have a dinosaur skull.
What do you do then after you say that?
You say, look at my dinosaur
skull. Right. Right. People say, oh,
and
yeah.
And then let's go have cocktails in the ante room? Is that after you see the skull?
Again, not useful.
That's pretty goddamn impressive.
Yeah. Today's celebrity birthdays. Mark Sanchez, quarterback for the New York Jets, of course, used to be the QB for the USC Trojans here locally in Southern California. He is 23 years old today. Leonardo DiCaprio is 35 years old. Calista Flockhart from Ally McBeal and Brothers and Sisters. And is she married to Harrison Ford yet? Are they finally get married?
I don't know.
Yeah, she is 45 years old today. Actress Demi Moore is 47. Actor Stanley Tucci is 49 years old, and singer-guitarist for XTC, Andy Partridge, celebrates his 56th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
First, though, it's time for the Wheel O' Bad Animal Voices.
Oh, yay!
This comes up from time to time because we have so many stories about strange stories about animals in the news that we have to put them on a wheel, and then we spin, and whatever story it lands on, we try to do some follow-up.
And lately, it seems like there's two or three a week, doesn't it?
We're going to need another wheel.
Here we are.
Yeah, so it's time to spin, people. Here we go.
It's time Wheel of Bad Animal Voices. Where do you think it's gonna land?
Don't know.
It's gonna be pretty bad, but Kevin and me don't care, so we'll do it anyway. It's time for the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices.
What?
Nope.
What do you mean? No.
Yeah, it's on the schedule.
Too late.
Come here to ask on behalf of everyone, especially the armed forces.
We already played the intro.
Yeah. Well, you can apologize and just go into commercial. How about that?
It's time for the Wheel of Animal Voices.
Come on.
I think it's time to say goodbye to the wheel.
Here's what we have.
Let's see what's new on there.
We have the renegade kangaroo.
Oh, okay.
Still have the pimpin' chimps.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And the giant Japanese jellyfish.
Oh, that's an amazing story.
All right. Russian dog girl.
Oh, yeah.
We have Percy the albino squirrel.
That's a new one.
R.I.P. We have the rock-throwing elephant.
Oh, yeah.
The Japanese attack bear.
Mm-hmm.
The attacking Komodo dragon.
Mm.
The swine.
Animals that attack really don't belong on the wheel, I think.
Especially bears and Komodo dragons.
That's kind of their natural state. It's not really an interesting story.
I'm sorry. Were we opening it up for some kind of debate on what's on the wheel?
I'm telling you
it's on the wheel.
Shouldn't be there.
Swine flu cat.
Mm.
Argentinian mega colony ants.
Yep.
Acid-spitting Mongolian death worm. So those are animals.
Those are awesome animals.
Every one of these stories, headlines has a story.
Very curious about all of them.
Spin the wheel right now and see who we're going to talk to. Oh, look at that. It's a swine flu cat.
How timely.
How about that?
Son of a gun. I got to go.
Hey, come back.
We're going to talk about a cat with
This is the first example of human to pet swine flu.
That's scary.
Happened in Des Moines, Iowa. Center for Disease Control says a 13-year-old Iowa cat has been infected with swine flu.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes. Apparently, it was in the house. Three of the people had it. They're not exactly sure how it got passed to the cat.
Oh, boy.
We figured we would try to get some more information on this story as it, you know, it's relevant,
sure.
Especially to our time. We all have pets.
We do. That's kind of scary.
So we have the, I believe it's the Center for Disease Control. On the hello?
Hello?
Is this the Center for Disease Control?
No. This is the cat in Iowa.
Oh, the swine flu. Sound bad.
You don't.
Yeah, I had the swine flu.
Yeah.
It's right there in the story.
It is.
Yeah. So I sound bad.
I thought maybe you were getting better.
Did you? Did you think that?
I was hoping.
Yeah.
But I know it hangs on.
Yeah, it sure does.
Can hang on for a long time. Now, 13 for a cat, that's pretty old, right? I mean, you're up there.
You'd be considered elderly.
Right.
I am not a young cat.
Right.
No.
Because swine flu seems to be a lot more dangerous for young and old.
Right.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, how could they tell that you had the swine flu? What were the symptoms that you showed?
Oinking.
Oinking?
Yes.
I didn't realize that was a symptom.
Rolling in slop.
Really?
Eating garbage.
Okay.
General swinish activity.
Right.
That's surprising.
And then they took you to the vet.
Right.
And he said, yes, swine flu. Now
he
what
said, this cat has swine flu.
Yeah.
And I said, meow.
Right.
That's what cats say.
Mm-hmm.
But you're talking to us. Why didn't you talk to him?
God, I don't like him.
Okay.
and then they said, just put him on some kitty antibiotics.
Okay.
And see what happens.
All right. Are you feeling... How long has it been now?
Oh, let's see. What day is it?
It's Wednesday.
Wednesday.
It's been about a month.
A month?
My gosh.
A month.
And I don't feel any better.
Who's the cat that's laughing there with you?
That's Omar.
Yeah. Okay, he's there with you.
One of the other cats here on the farm in Iowa.
Wow, that's weird.
Not the CDC.
No. Now, the CDC is saying that pet owners, the rest of us, mm-hmm. should take the same precautions against spreading swine flu to their pets.
Absolutely, yes. By all means, people, wear masks around your pets.
Okay.
And also be careful how you behave around your animals.
What does that mean?
I got this because I effed a ferret.
Oh, yeah. A couple of ferrets got it, too.
Yeah, I caught it from a ferret.
Oh, I thought you got it from the humans. I didn't realize you got it from the ferret.
No, I was whoring around with a ferret.
Wow.
Oh, man.
And,
no protection?
No protection.
Wow, that's rough.
She told me she was fine.
Right.
She looked okay.
Right.
Next thing you know, I'm banging a ferret, and I come away with swine flu.
Oh.
Now, if I read the story correctly...
I'm not getting a cat AIDS.
Yeah.
Good point.
If I'm reading the story correctly, the ferrets died, though, right? I mean, it took their life. Wow.
So imagine how scared I am.
Is that scary? Yeah.
I don't feel so good.
Do you have a temperature?
Oh, I'm burning up. I am one hot pussy. I have a fever, and I'm a cat. That's right. All that meant.
Right. That's we got.
I think I'm going down.
I'm glad that you understand our need to clarify that.
Oh yeah, sure.
That's very nice.
Look, I'm a cat, but I'm not an idiot. I don't feel good though. I don't think I'm going to make it.
Oh no.
Really?
Thanks for being my last interview.
Oh.
Well, don't. Maybe you should get some help.
I tried. I just don't.
Swine flu cat is being played off by keyboard cat.
Oh, sad but appropriate.
Wow. We'll miss you, swine cat. Time for a look at the Afro, 323-520-AFRO, 24 hours a day. We have an answering machine set up. If you think of something, you think of us, you think our listeners need to be alerted to it, you can call and leave a message.
Okay.
This might be a little premature.
Three words, Butterball Turkey Hotline.
Well, time is speeding by.
It is, but that's...
just a few weeks.
We do that just before Thanksgiving, if I can't talk everyone out of it.
Yeah, you're not going to be
able apparently, to do that. I have not been successful up to this point, but I think this guy probably agrees with me. It's time has passed.
That's the turkey.
Yeah.
He's taunting us.
He's excited.
Yeah.
You know how we've been talking about fireflies for a long time, the song by L City?
Yeah.
And we play it, and it gets wild response from Love to Hate, Love to Hate. No one in the middle. You either love it or hate
it. It's just one of those songs.
And we've been telling you that it has been the number one download song on iTunes forever.
Yeah.
It's also been the number one requested song here at the radio station forever. And I'd like to suggest stop it.
That's good advice.
But here's a guy who is going to explain his actions to you.
Hi, I'd like to just explain why I request Owl City's Firefly so many times. I do it for the comedy factor. That, and I have a big in my thanks.
Okay, well, wow. At least now we know.
Right. That guy.
Why the hell a gay bean?
Tough to win to answer.
I don't know that
you're
I'd
just
laugh.
Born that way.
I don't know that I'd laugh too hard, Mike.
Psycho Mike, you're a dick.
Here's the thing about that. We know all of that is true.
Right.
But you got to give us some context.
Like why today specifically
right.
you decided to call and say
could,
that?
Listen, we could apply that to everything because he's pretty much a dick at all times.
I'd like to know, yeah.
But I'd like to know specifically what it is that made you think he's a dick.
Sure.
On top of everything else that, you know, we always talk about.
Gucci scores! Airtight!
Actually not. If he scored, it's not the case. This guy is trying out some patented stand-up.
You know, it's really inspiring to see Rihanna. She's hitting the talk show circuit, which is really, really nice. I don't know. She needs to go on more shows, though. She's only gone on three or four. The whole thing smacks of effort. You know, I'm glad she's talking about it, though, publicly, though. It sounds like she's really got this thing beat.
Aw, see what he did?
Too soon.
That's the follow-up call. The Armenian comedian is convinced that he's a comedian, that he cuts hair well.
Yeah.
He's Mr. Clown. He's an entertainer. I was not aware of a brand new skill now.
There's something else he does?
He is now an expert in another area.
Oh my.
The only Armenian yodeling. Yodeling.
If you're going to sell it as the only, there's two people on the line, clearly, and the good yodeler, why don't you just have him do it?
That's a good point.
Why wouldn't Sam go, I'm the only, and then let the dude do it well, who can yodel well. Instead, they both do it. They sound like a-holes. But who knew they
Gee,
had another
what a
skill?
Surprise. It's Sam.
I see him opening up a show soon.
No, you don't.
That's all I'm saying.
No, you don't.
We have voice changers here. We could actually change the pitch of your voice, mm-hmm. and it makes it a little easier to do stuff like this.
Hey, guys, David Hasselhoff, big fan of K-Rock. Yeah. You know, I got to tell you, I'm sitting on the toilet. I drank some of that kombucha. Kombucha Fantastico. But you know what? I mixed my kombucha with vodka, and it really...
Oh, this is a mess. Do you guys know who's playing Acoustic Christmas yet?
Come on.
Not bad.
Yeah, but if you're going to go with average, don't you throw in Homeboy?
Maybe you can never hear it.
Do your research. Come on, dude. And finally, we've been talking a lot about Lindsay Lohan. I don't know how, but there is a news story about her in the entertainment news every single day.
She's flying all over the world partying, number one, and I don't know how she's managing to do that.
And
coming out of nightclubs crying.
A lot of people have been making fun of her, and this guy very upset.
Please, leave Lindsay alone. Who are you people to judge her? She's a coked-out firecracker. You can pull an entire season of Celebrity Rehab by herself.
That's true.
Her father makes tapes about her and releases them to the public. She's a human! And on those tapes, she sounds a lot like that crying boxer in the ring making apologies. Please leave Lindsay alone. Hi, Lisa.
Not too broken up to give you a nod. I think that's nice.
God bless him.
323-520-AFRO. Time for one of our all-time favorite guests, Mr. Skin, is on the phone. Hey, Mr. Skin.
Hey, Kevin. Hey, Ralph.
How you doing today?
Mr. Skin. Mr. Skin. Mr. Skin.com.
That's a nice little jingle.
That's a great jingle. So much better than the stuff we make here.
Y'all.
Our crappy show.
Tons better. Mr. Skin, you're back with an all-new book. Tell the people who are listening that don't know of your excellent work what it is you do.
Well, I have a website called MrSkin.com. We just celebrated our
10-year anniversary in August.
Wow.
And it's a website where you could go to find out if any actress in the history of film from all over the world has ever been nude. And, of course, we tell you the movies they've been naked in, how far into the movie the nude scenes are. But we also even tell you the movies they've been in underwear or bikini. So it's a complete skinography of every actress in the history of movies and television.
It's quite skin depth. I would go that far.
Oh, wow.
Oh, here we go.
Man,
I'd
go that far. I would say it's skin depth. What? Now, Mr. Skin, the book is 700 pages long.
Yes,
the Skincyclopedia.
It's like half the size of the healthcare bill.
Correct. How many photos are in it?
Gosh.
Five? Six?
It's a lot of words and very little visual, we're just saying,
right.
Mr. Skin.
Well, what I did is, you know, our website has 17,000 actresses. So what we did for this book is take the 2009 that we thought were, you know, the most important and put them in to the book and did a bio on the actresses, you know, based on what they've done nudity-wise, but then told you all the movies they've been naked in, the body parts they've shown in each movie, and,
nice.
Of course, their skin-fining moment, which
sure.
would be, a great example of a skin-fining moment is Sharon Stone in Basic Instinct, the
sure.
leg cross scene. That's the nude scene that not only everyone remembers, that kind of made her a star. So we did that for all 2009 actresses.
2009 actresses seems a little skintimidating. I got to be honest.
Yeah.
Seems like that might be a little tough to keep
yeah,
track of.
Yeah, this is definitely a reference book, and it's one of those where if you can't get to the computer and you're maybe on a long drive or in a plane and want to read up on actresses, it's a good book.
Yeah, people won't give you the stink eye on a plane when you're reading the Skincyclopedia.
Well, one thing... In doing the research for this book, a reporter for a magazine that was interviewing me a couple of weeks ago, you know, before the book came out,
right.
he asked me the question, what's the most common time in a movie for a nude scene? And I had never thought of it, like, what minute mark had the most nude scenes? So luckily we've chronicled that in our database. So I went to our tech guys and I said, I need the answer to this question. He literally in 5 seconds, you know, how compute, you know,
sure.
how that goes, he came up with, and it was at the 43-minute mark is the most common time for a nude scene in film. And it's not like by a little, it's by a ton. So for some reason, and I can't explain it, the most common time to see nudity in a film is 43 minutes in.
All
That's
right.
probably when most films are losing people's attention.
Yeah, they probably figured, okay, at 43 minutes, if we don't put a nude scene in, they're gone.
I'm going to set my alarm on my watch every time I go to a beep, beep, beep.
Hey, Mr. Skin, I was wondering, do you do TV as well as films?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Well, and actually... Not only the answer is a resounding yes, but realistically, the best nudity over the last 5 years, the coolest thing about my job has been all the great nude scenes that have come from The L Word and Sopranos
right,
and
right.
Californication. And,
yeah,
I could go on and on. In fact, this year, Eva Amore on Californication, who's the daughter of Susan Sarandon,
yeah. mm-hmm.
has been topless in a few scenes, and I consider that the best nudity so far of 2009.
Wow.
Yeah.
Her mom was quite the fan of being nude when she was a young actress as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, she's been naked like over 14 times, and it's pretty cool. It's always great when a mom and daughter both been naked. That's always a great top 10 list around Mother's Day for us.
Sure. Yeah. And the mothers love that, too. So.
Oh, yeah. It really brings the family together.
That's very nice.
I know Rocky Horror Picture Show was on this weekend, and she was
yeah,
running around in her bra
nude,
and panties, and I was like, damn, she had a hot body back in the day.
Oh, yeah. Oh, for sure. Yeah, Susan Sarandon, and she was one of those actresses that not only was nude a lot, did it over many, many years. In other words, she's almost like, you know how like Ted Williams played in the majors in like 39 and then through 60, so he played it 4 decades?
Right, right.
She was like almost a 4-decader for nudity. Her first nude scene was in 1970, but if it was in 69, she would have been a 4-decade nuder.
Wow.
So that's
wow.
pretty impressive.
4-decade nuder. That's a hell of a title.
We're going to put her in the Hall of Fame.
Well, she's in the Mr. Skin Hall of Fame.
She's fantastic. Great. How many people do you have in your Hall of Fame?
I would say about, of our 17,000 actresses, about 350 are in the Hall of Fame.
And what kind of an award do they win? What do they, what do they get
just,
for that?
We right now, they don't really get an award. They're just in our Hall of Fame at our website. And it's for various reasons. It could be for an incredible career of nudity or just like, you know, one or two great scenes that are just so good that you have to put them in.
I should at least send them a loofah and some moisturizer. You know, take care of their skin.
Yeah.
Have you ever offered up a skin invitation to talk to some of
no,
them about
you know
their
what?
Nudity?
There's been lots of talk of, you know, I've been starting to talk to some TV networks and other things, and we may see something in the future, that, you know, revolving around this or the Anatomy Awards. We'll see. It's all been web-based so far, but we'll see. This could get bigger. We'll see.
I'm not sure if I asked this question or not, but is there a picture book that goes with this?
Yeah, it's called MrSkin.com.
Yeah, there you go. One feeds the other.
That's the thing is, what I realized pretty quickly is to try to compete with the website is not the way to go in a book, and I really just wanted the book. It's really a reference guide. In fact, if you're at the bookstore, you'd see this book with the, you know, the film encyclopedias and the Roger Ebert, film review guides. This is our reference guide. We're just referencing all the nudity in the history of film.
And in this book, is it more American-based actresses, or do you have Skinternational actresses as
well? We definitely have Skinternational, but, you know, of the 2009, you know, it's heavily tilted toward actresses you would know from American TV. But believe me, the great... you know, the Bridget Bardot's, Monica Bellucci's, Kate Winslet's, they're all included.
So it's a heavy American skinfluence.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
I'm just joking. You are skin raging me, Kevin.
I hate us right now.
Well, another thing also, you're saying like there's a lot of reading, but we have a lot of cool lists in here, and we even did things where there's lots of actresses that have been naked but only showed one body part. Like, example, we have it so that if you want to search every actress that has only showed their right breast in a movie, you could do that, and you'll see, like, Fran Drescher, Jennifer Love Hewitt, Tia Leone, Ellen DeGeneres, Tina Louise, Ginger from Gilligan's Island, have been naked but only showed their right breast.
Good, because I hate the left breast.
But there's a list for that.
Disgusting.
There's a left breast, too?
Jennifer Esposito have only showed their left breast.
Left breast blows.
So we broke it down into butt and thong and all that, so you could search by that. So it's we tried to make it really fun.
Here's what I love. Dude's a pervert. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
Like all of us are. And at some point during high school or whatever, we all get into this whole thing where we try to find... He's made a living at it.
He's a thorough pervert.
Oh, yeah. And really? Believe me, and I'm very appreciative of it. I say it all the time. I have the greatest job in the world. I mean, I have meetings today where we have to go in and talk about lesbian scenes. I mean, that's what, that's a big meeting I have to go to.
Sure, of course. Yeah. Well, I got to tell you, we're eternally skin-debted to you because of the work that you do.
Yes. Well, it's information skin demand.
That's correct. That is correct. And if we didn't have the book, we'd be in
Nice. Good work.
I told Mike before
I think
we
went done.
On. I told Mike before we went on. This is the one I'm going to make happen.
Yeah. Good work.
Never mind. All right, Mr. Skin. The book is out now. It's
got in stores yesterday.
Mr. Skin's Skincyclopedia, the A to Z Guide to Finding Your Favorite Actresses Naked, second edition.
Yes.
So go out and get it right now if you're a fan of Mr. Skin. Like
go to
are.
The website too, MrSkin.com.
That's correct. You have to be 18, right, to go to that one or?
To buy the book, to go to our it's for the web, just like every other website that has nudity.
Yeah, you have to say you're 18.
Yeah.
Thanks, Mr. Skin.
Okay, thanks, Kevin. Thanks, Ralph.
You're the best. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show, and Ralph is here with another look at the Showbiz Beat. What's going on, Ralph?
Yes, nominations for the People's Choice Awards have been announced.
Woo!
Woo!
Wow. Yay.
But they're the People's Choice Awards, so no one cares.
Yeah. Needs a little more volume.
I think I'm in the wrong file here on this machine.
That was not intended?
That wasn't, but it was fun. All I was glad I had a chance to play with that. I have no idea what's going on with this machine, but that was fun. That was a nice piece of tape.
That was odd. I didn't even know we had that piece of
tape. Yeah, I don't believe in People's Choice Awards. I don't like any award, first of all, that is voted on by the people. Because most people are idiots, in my humble opinion. And any award show that you can vote for in the back of a TV guide, it really doesn't count. Because that's where they put the crossword puzzle as well.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's true.
The really easy crossword puzzle. And it's funny on an airplane when you see it half finished. Like someone struggled with, you know, saved by the blank four letters, starts with a B. No.
And they got both L's.
I'm flummoxed. Those are the people who are voting on the People's Choice Awards.
Well, you don't watch it for that. You watch it for the celebrities that are there. Or in this case, isn't this the one where...
This is where everyone knows they're going to win, so they're guaranteed to show up. And they give you the big the big plexiglass hands that are clapping. It's lovely.
Who's the host of this?
I don't know. Oh. Who is the host of this?
I don't know. I was thinking that there's one award show.
I think Queen Latifah usually hosts this.
Oh, no. The comedian from Britain in The Office. That
Gervais.
Guy.
Gervais.
Those are the Golden Globes. Those are the good ones. Those are good awards.
Where you can drink.
Who votes on those?
They drink at those. And the Golden Globes are the International Foreign Press of, of Hollywood Foreign Press. Yeah. So they,
not the peeps.
Not the peeps. Right. Not the people who are reading the back of the TV guide. No. So. Although Twilight got a bunch of awards, nominations for the People's Choice Awards because the people love Twilight.
That's true.
And Robert Pattinson is talking to Us Weekly. Yeah, if you're going to do it, you got to get near a microphone.
Nope. I'm going to suggest stop doing it.
If he talks to Us Weekly magazine, talking about how he can't understand why people find him sexy. He says he's a manic depressive. He's lost every girl he's ever wanted to someone else.
Wow.
And his personal hygiene habits are disgusting.
Oh. Really?
Yeah.
And he knows it and does nothing about
it.
All right.
He is quite the catch. He doesn't mention that his head was put into a grape press. Whatever happened to make it look like he's slightly Down syndromed. I don't know what he's got going on there, but that's bad, too.
You think you did that on purpose?
Let me add to your list of things, Rob Pattinson. That is also part of your problem. So, ladies, he doesn't want you to find him attractive. Plus, he's smelly, apparently, according to Rob.
That is not good. But, you know, Brad Pitt used to have that rep, too.
Yeah, a lot of good-looking guys. You know, Matthew McConaughey doesn't use deodorant. Doesn't believe
in it. Excellent.
Doesn't believe in it.
Nope. Meanwhile,
hippies. I mean, period. F*** hippies. Been saying that my whole life. Right. Be saying it till I die. F*** hippies.
Speaking of smelly, did Heath Ledger have a secret girlfriend at the time of his death?
Well, he was
wasn't married.
He was broken up, right? From
They were divorced.
Yeah, they were divorced.
So did he have a girlfriend that no one knew about?
Another private phone recording has been posted on RadarOnline.com, and it's a conversation between Lindsay Lohan and her mom, Dina. Revealing that Heath and Lindsay were dating at the time of his fatal overdose.
Is that right?
The situation really effed her up because they were very, very close, you hear Lindsay saying to Dina. So now we know why Heath overdosed.
Get away?
Let's face it. Come on. Fate worse than death right there. Fire crotch.
Yeah.
Today's celebrity birthdays. New York Jets quarterback Mark Sanchez celebrates his 23rd birthday. UFC fighter Mauricio Shogun Rua celebrates his 28th birthday. Leonardo DiCaprio is 35. Carson Kressley from Queer Eye for the Straight Guy, he's 40 years old today. Calista Flockhart from Ally McBeal and Brothers and Sisters is 45. Yeah, she's huge.
She could lose some weight.
She could just hit a treadmill once in a while, couldn't she? Demi Moore celebrates her 47th birthday today. Stanley Tucci is 49. And Andy Partridge of XTC is 56. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show, and we're going to talk to Jay Moore in just a minute about his TV show that's on tonight, Gary Unmarried. But first, what?
Nothing.
Jay, huh?
Nothing.
Did you say gay?
No.
Really?
But first, let's talk about the tweet that went on yesterday with our own cat and you, Mike.
Yeah.
The picture what was going on?
Well, she found a CD that we have in the studio here.
Right.
Mm-hmm. She's the DJ that comes on after us. And so she took a picture of it, and she tweeted, "What should I do with this?"
Yes.
Now, it's a CD that's labeled farts.
Oh.
Now.
So this was our office.
Yeah. So it took Psycho Mike and Dave the King of Mexico to write back and go, "I don't know, it's a CD, listen to it."
Yeah.
And she did, eventually. Uh-huh. She came around to listening to it and said,
"Best song ever."
Ah, that's awesome.
Best song ever. So for your enjoyment, farts.
Yeah, if your stomach's playing tricks on you, you got that indigestion. Don't reach for no Pepto-Bismol. Grab another burrito, let your ass hang. Embrace it, grab your pimp cup, spread your cheeks, yeah. When my stomach's upset, you best plug your nose. My ass cracks a punch of lethal blows. I cut the cheese, I drop them bombs. I'm making chemical warheads like Saddam. Farts, 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 everybody! Farts, 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 everybody! I'll clear a room, give me a chance. I burned a hole right through my underpants. So eat some beans, you can join in.
just grab your cheeks, cut the cheese, break some wind, yeah! Fonts, 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 everybody! Fonts, 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 if you got lots of gas, then let it out your ass. If you got lots of gas, then let it out your ass. If you got lots of gas, then let it out your ass. If you got lots of gas, let it the f*** up out your ass.
Who's hungry?
Omar did that live, by the way. That's not a synthesizer. It took him a long time, but, you know, he's dedicated.
On the beat?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Remember when Lightning used to be able to do that? Our producer, he used to be able to fart on command.
Still can.
Yeah.
Still can.
That's really impressive, you guys.
No, listen to me.
Still can.
On demand, like right, if I were to say, go do it right now, mm-hmm. he could do it. How do you do that?
I don't know.
Lisa May.
You're not impressed by that?
All the time.
It's amazing. In fact, at kevinandbean.com in the video section, there's a video of me putting him to the test. I walk in with a little handheld camera, and I blast on him, and I let the crowd know, look, he can blast on command, and I blast on him, and without hesitating, he's sitting there working, he gets up and just farts away.
What a talent.
He's quite a guy.
You're acting
such
like that's not impressive.
Such a gift
such
he has.
A gift. Most people have to sit there and figure out and wait, and timing
wise.
Yeah,
I know I do. that's trouble.
I don't think you're as impressed as you should be. By that.
Sorry, boys.
I don't know what it is about women that they don't get that.
So that's farts. You can find it online as well at mm-hmm. kevinandbean.com if you'd like. Right now it's time to talk to Jay Moore.
Okay.
Who is one of our favorite guests. He's a comedian. He's on Gary Unmarried.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to introduce a very funny comedian, Mr. Jay Moore, everyone. What the heck is algebra?
Hey!
You never need that. They say you're going to need this for the rest of your life. The lion. Algebra. That sounds like the name of some white trash kid in Fontana lives in a trailer park. Algebra. His mother comes out with rollers in her hair. Algebra! I'll do Christopher Walken later. But first, I want to talk about Tracy Morgan. I am so sick of people making fun of Sarah Jessica Parker. If your friend was married to Sarah Jessica Parker and he was coming to your house for your fantasy football draft, the first words out of your mouth would be, is Sarah coming?
Jay Moore's gay.
I kissed everyone. Because that's a big thing when you come on The View.
Jay Moore's gay.
That's how you want to be introduced, I'm guessing.
Yep.
Hey, Jay.
Yo, that was a great intro, Kev.
Enjoyed it.
I never heard my Tracy Morgan out of context before. It's damn good.
Your Tracy Morgan rules.
I'm going to get your arm pregnant. Where did I get Psycho Mike in my headlock?
Is he?
Yeah, I made my first YouTube video last night.
You did? Of what?
It's called Mabel and Alan. M-A-B-E-L and Alan, A-L-L-E-N.
Okay.
It's of my teacup Yorkie having sex with a stuffed animal. But it's a girl Yorkie, so it's not gross.
Oh, so
it's sexy.
It's sexy then.
It's totally...
Do you put some kind of sexy music with it, or...?
Yeah, put it up. You'll love it. If you don't laugh, I'll mail you $1,000.
Well, I'm easy when it comes to laughing, so I'm
you
guessing...
You will laugh your face off. If you go to YouTube, type in Mabel and Alan, or on my Twitter, there's a link to it, too. But it's you got to. I'll know when it's up, because you guys will start laughing.
Oh, you mean do it up and pull it up now?
Yeah.
Pull it up. Okay. Right. I didn't know you're talking about now, dude.
Look, watch this. Gary Unmarried tonight at 8:30. All right, go ahead. Pull it up.
Okay, good. Now we're pulling this up. We saw on your Twitter, by the way, today that you're doing a bunch of radio shows and you're excited.
Yes.
Yeah. Named a bunch of other shows. Not ours.
Well,
I mean, I'm just saying. Know, I'm just saying.
You got to give love when, you know, you went to people that, how do I put this gently, that you know you'll never be in studio for certain people.
I see.
Still haven't pulled it up.
That is your dog, and it's and she's
turn up the volume.
We can't. We can't pull it up because they don't trust us on the air, so they don't allow that.
Oh, it's ice creamy cake, 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 then ice creamy cake.
Well, now she's passed out. Now she's going for round two. This is high quality.
My dog had sex with a stuffed animal, and then she actually passed out.
She looks dead, and then she gets right back up at it. Wow.
I put it up last night, and I woke up this morning. There was 500 views, and I'm like, what the hell happened?
And that's the first time you've ever put a video?
On the internet for world's most adorable dog having sex with an animal.
Yeah. Do people search for that? I don't know.
I don't know.
Maybe they do Yorkshire.
Maybe
they
do.
Maybe they Yorkshire fans or whatever.
Your dog sure looks happy, though.
The stuffed animal is it's an elephant wearing a belly shirt.
So it's at least hot.
So freaking bizarre.
So it's hot. Tonight's Gary Unmarried, you have Nadine Velasquez.
Oh.
Oh, is that Mike?
Yes. Yeah, of course.
Yeah. She's
how's the Wayne Corvette doing over there?
Wayne Corvette is good. Nadine though, she's pretty hot, right?
Yeah, she's a very pretty girl. Yeah. It's in tonight's episode, there's a misunderstanding.
Yes. That's it?
That's it. That's
hell of a sell. All right.
I thought they would get a big laugh. Ever see that one where there was a misunderstanding?
Yeah, that's every episode, right?
Yeah, of every show.
Of every
show that's ever been made.
Where Jack thought something was happening, but he had it wrong. I go to a lingerie shop, and
yes.
Nadine Velasquez asks me to keep an eye on the store while she goes out and puts, like, change in the parking meter.
Yes.
And then all these girls come out, and they're, like, in their underpants, and they say, okay, if you were a straight guy, would you like this? So now, like, I have free reign to just stare at the racks.
Wow, that's some writing. Were you in on writing this episode?
No, I was not. It was just handed to me, and I said, okay.
That's gold.
If I have to.
If I have to, I'll do it for my craft.
And then Nadine Velasquez and I wind up doing it in one of the little dressing rooms.
Now, is that in the show as well, or that's just in your imagination?
No way, bro. I'm a one-woman man. You know that.
I know that in reality, but I'm saying...
no way, bro.
You can lust in your heart.
Doesn't interest me.
Wow.
Nadine Velasquez doesn't even interest you?
It's like thinking about the Cubs. Just what am I going to do with the Cubs? Like, what do I know about the guy? I think Lou Piniella is the manager or something. They never win. What am I going to do?
So Nadine...
Is that Mike's big stupid
laugh?
Yeah,
oh, yeah.
I feel like I'm in studio.
Well, you are a lot. You're one of our favorite guests. You're certainly welcome.
Thank you. I know you guys don't. I know you prefer in studio.
We do.
You're having me on the phone,
but I can see you're in New York. From your phone, right? You're in New York. You're not.
No, I'm in.
So why aren't you in studio?
Why do you have a 212?
Lazy ass.
Because I had to do a whole thing.
Why do you have a 212 area code?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
That caller ID thing says 212. It's a New York. You're right around the corner. You didn't come in.
I'm on Santa Monica Boulevard.
Okay. Just walking up and down?
I'm at your house. Look, Kevin, I'm in your house. Right. Come home and play with me. We'll have a good time with your cowbell.
You know I rock the cowbell. All right. Jay Moore, we got to go. Gary Unmarried, Wednesdays at 8:30 on CBS. Tonight. A lot of racks, a lot of lingerie.
A big misunderstanding,
and Nadine Velasquez. So what else
do
you need?
Jay.
Thank you,
Jay.
Hey, I'll see you guys soon, okay?
We'll talk to you soon. Thanks.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show for Wednesday. By the way, I'm trying to make sure I'm set for tonight on the TV. Is tonight the episode of the Jay Moore Show where there's a misunderstanding? Did he say that was tonight?
Yes, that is tonight.
Yes.
All right.
A big misunderstanding.
I wonder if hilarity ensues, though.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care because there's Nadine Velasquez.
That is true.
Wes, however he says it.
And yes.
In a lot of lingerie, so that's good.
She's the broad from My Name Is Earl, right? She's
Yes.
You know, she's too skinny now.
Is she?
Yeah,
really?
She's lost a ton of weight. She's just, the bolt-ons are just screaming out of her skin now.
She has lost
scary.
A ton.
I don't know.
I would like to put a lot of weight back on her.
Oh, creepy.
Wow.
I'm just, that what?
Quickly.
I'm saying.
That quickly,
no, but,
things go south.
That taste in my mouth again.
All right, guys, listen. We have a Kevin and Me listener who needs our help. And I love it when somebody runs across a problem in their life and they think, oh, I know, Kevin and Me have got the answer. Yeah. I love how misguided they are to begin with. But let's see what we can do for the beautiful Emma, apparently, who is joining us here on the Kevin and Bean Show today. Hi, Emma. Thanks for the email. Thanks for getting on the phone. How are you, my dear?
Hi. Good morning, Kevin and Bean, Ralph, Lisa May.
Good morning.
What's the problem here, sweetheart?
Okay, so I started a fling with this guy, and we'd been sleeping around for maybe a few weeks, and then he told me he was moving. So I said, okay, whatever, that's fine. And we had made this arrangement to go meet each other one day after I'd gotten out of work.
Right.
So I was on my way, I was driving, and then I'm about 2 minutes away from his new place, and then he says to me, he texts me, he says, so something that I should have told you earlier is when I said that I was moving in with a roommate, it was with a girl. And so okay, I'm confused. I sent him back, is it your girlfriend? And he says, pretty much, but we can still play around. And so I'm thinking, okay, pretty much, it's either a yes or a no. And so,
well, pretty much in guy speak means absolutely.
Means yes. But it's come over anyway.
Right.
So he moved in with his girlfriend, and that upset you because you were having sex with him.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
So you didn't know he had a girlfriend?
No, I didn't.
Now, here's my favorite part. I was dumbfounded. I'm going to read from her email now. My brain told me to turn around, but my vag told me to drive on.
Mm-hmm. Don't listen to your vag.
What?
No,
listen to your vag.
Always.
So no. Emma, you said to him, this is unacceptable, and then you never slept with him again, right?
No, not entirely.
All right, what happened then? So you find out he's living with his girlfriend now. What do you do?
So I'm almost there. If I end up just say, okay, just go there and figure out what's going to happen, and I get there, and I'm keeping my distance from him. You know, I'm maintaining my integrity.
Right, of course you're maintaining your integrity. Yeah.
You're a paragon of virtue.
You have standards.
You are, but your vag is not.
You are a tower of jello.
I was like, listen, what do you think you're doing with you living with your girlfriend and me here? And he says to me, what, like I don't feel guilty?
As long as he feels guilty.
Right, as long as you feel guilty. Oh,
so that's when you left?
You turned around and stormed out.
No,
that didn't happen.
Okay. Still no. All right, okay. So the self-respect hasn't kicked in yet. So what did happen?
I'm like, well, you know, you can't feel that guilty if I'm here. And so we're just, you know, keeping our distance. And
right, then you slapped his face and just walked right out of there.
Threw a drink in his face and said, I'm out. Nobody treats me like this.
You know, I pictured that going on, but it didn't quite happen the way that I pictured it.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Where'd you bang him?
In the kitchen.
On the counter.
Okay.
Well, you sure showed him. Yes. Way to stick to your guns.
Taught him a lesson.
This is why we're fascinated with you, because your first line of your email is, can you do a bit on men and why they cheat on their girlfriends? But I think it's
because they can.
It's a more interesting story to talk about the girls that will have sex with the guy when they know there's a girlfriend and don't seem to care.
You see, I was already there, and I was thinking of
you were already there.
Okay, well,
so I might as well boink.
Are you going back?
No.
That was right.
Uh-huh.
No, she lied.
You swear?
Have you been back since that first time?
Or met him in a hotel?
No, I have not. I mean, this just happened last week, a few days ago. Yeah.
But this was a fling anyway, Emma, right? This wasn't like a serious relationship for you.
No, I'm not looking for anything serious.
All right. So those are the women who have sex with guys with girlfriends.
But let me ask you this. That's not fair.
If you want a real relationship, you usually don't end up with a taken man. But if you want a fling, then there's no harm, no foul.
If you're not looking for a relationship, isn't this best case scenario where he moves in with his girlfriend so you know there's not going to be a lot of ugliness.
Well, not
probably.
Looking for a real relationship and seeing someone who's got a girlfriend. Those are two different things.
No.
Not really.
What about his girlfriend?
What about his girlfriend when you were...
A little late to be asking that question now, isn't it?
What about her when you were on the kitchen counter? What about that?
It took a while to sink in.
That's what she said. All right.
You're a lucky lady.
Let's take some calls. Would you mind holding on? And we'll take some calls from our listeners, and they will give you the advice and the information that you're looking for. Why do guys cheat?
Lovely.
The 30-second segment.
Listen, we've already said it, but I think other people need to tell her.
It's novelty. That's the answer. So it's new. New versus old. That's all you need to know.
And because you said yes is the real reason. All right, hold on. 1-800-520.
That's not why men cheat. That's how men cheat.
1-800-520-106.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Wednesday. Unfortunately, the Armenian comedian is scheduled to be on next hour. We're going to figure out a way to bump that, I hope. We also have a chance for you to win some Weezer tickets for their upcoming show at the Brent Event Center and a Weezer Snuggie and their new CD. That's on the way, too. Right now, we're catching up with our friend Emma. She's a Kevin and Bean listener who contacted us because she suddenly and mysteriously and through no fault of her own found herself the other woman the other night. But well, she couldn't stop herself at that point. She was already driving to the guy's house. She had to continue to bang him, even though she found out he was living with his girlfriend, right?
Well, sometimes you're just primed and ready to go. What are you going to do?
She found out in the car 2 miles from his house. Then she said, well, I'm just going to go ahead and just show up and just see what goes on. And then she kept her distance, and then she ended up having sex with him.
And somehow, and this is the impression I get from the email, somehow she's mad at guys now as a result of her decision. So before we go to your calls with advice for the beautiful Emma at 1-800-520-1067, I think our friend Dick Whiskey is in the studio today. And I think, Dick, am I right? You have a song for Emma.
You got it. Girls who don't just give up the poon and keep their mouth shut are whores.
Oh, wow, that's pretty hard.
Come on with that. All right. Let's get some advice or some interpretation of the situation. And let's start with Jacqueline. She is on line one on the Kevin Amin Show. Jacqueline, thanks for holding on. What do you got for Emma?
You know, I was just thinking, you know, humans forget that we're all animals and it's our basic instinct to go out and mate and sow our seed. And I think, you know, if there's something lacking in your current relationship sexually, you're going to go out and try to fulfill that need. And I think that's why guys cheat. But I think that's too generalized. I think, you know, I know a lot of women out there that cheat, too. I just think, you know, generally humans cheat, you know, because they're lacking something.
Yeah, the numbers are definitely a lot more even than they used to be. It used to be it was mostly men, but women are right up there with guys now in terms of cheating.
Which is a step in the right direction. Jacqueline, that's an outstanding point. Dick, what do you think?
Backstabbing bitches like Jacqueline are whores.
Wow. Seems a little rough. Double standard here.
Yeah. Shut up.
I was on board with Jacqueline. I liked very much what she had to say. All right, let's try Chris. He's doing a little psycho. He's on line eight, please. He's doing a little psychoanalyzing of the guy in the situation, has an opinion. Hi, Chris, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, if it's a guaranteed piece of ass, we're there.
That's your answer.
That's it,
it's
right?
As simple as that. You know, I'm married, and I stay away from knowing. If it's guaranteed, I stay away from her because I know what I'm going to do. You know, like Jacqueline said, we're animals. It's going to happen. And if we know it can, we're going to make it happen.
So there was no way that guy, you can't blame the guy in this situation because she was there and she was willing, right?
I'm sorry, you can't blame the guy. The girl knows.
Emma?
It's all the girl's fault.
It's all your
she
fault.
She didn't know.
And the guy's there.
What do you mean she didn't know? She
I mean,
knew.
She'd been having a thing with him, and she had no idea he even had a girlfriend.
Right, but then she found out
right,
and went
okay,
through with
so
it.
So she had one time.
But at that point, I was already there. I mean, just like Jacqueline said, we're only animals. If you put us in a position to do it, it's going to happen. So you can't just blame it on me.
Yeah, we can't put a hot fudge sundae in front of the guy on The Biggest Loser and expect him not to eat it, right? I mean, it's just not fair.
Right.
I mean, it's like a fat kid loves cake, right?
Exactly. All right, Chris, thanks for the call. Dick, what do you think?
Chris is totally right. If it's a guaranteed piece of poon, banger!
All right, how about Mariana? She has a cautionary word of advice on line seven. Mariana, thanks for calling the Kevin and Bean Show. What do you have for Emma?
Good morning. I just want her to know that what goes around comes around, and karma does happen, so... Whenever she might not think about it, but when she falls in love with the guy, I mean, he might end up doing the same thing to her. Who knows? It might be me who might go through
it. It might be Mariana.
Exactly.
Nice.
She's
going to
sleep. What goes around comes around. Karma harbinger.
Emma, do you ever worry about not being able to find a guy who won't cheat on you because you've kind of put it out there in a karma fashion, as Mariana says?
Oh, yeah. I thought about it instantly. I was thinking, well, I don't want to be in my mid-30s and, you know, me out of town only to find out that my boyfriend is banging
right.
a 20-year-old.
And you were thinking about that when you were on the kitchen counter?
No, I thought about it afterwards.
Right after that. Okay.
All right. Mariana, thanks for the call. Dick, do you agree?
Girls who are bitter and then call up radio shows talking about karma are whores.
All right, why don't we close with James? He's on line one. He's really given this a lot of thought and has some advice for Emma, I think. Hi, James, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, am I on?
Yep.
Yes.
Oh, okay, sorry. Honestly, I want to know if she still wants to go back because she keeps thinking and talking about it and wants to know, like, all these questions. So my question is, does she want to go back?
I can answer that. Yes, she does, clearly. Emma, what would you answer that?
No!
She's not going
How
back.
How dare you?
Now I know not to go.
I have one more thing to say, too. I honestly do believe, was there named Jacqueline that said The first caller? Okay, I actually do believe that. I actually believe that they do cheat because they're looking for something more. I guess they feel that their girlfriends aren't as attractive or so forth. Yeah, I really believe that. So.
Okay. All
and
right.
I believe that girl Amy has very low self-esteem.
All right. Dick, any thoughts on this dude?
James totally likes men and that's cool. Emma's a whore.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ,
nice.
And it is 7:54.
Looking ahead toward tomorrow's Kevin and Bean Show, by the way, our friend Kathy Griffin is going to be here. She's always very, very funny. And Kevin, your personal hero, 21-year-old poker player Joe Cada, who won the World Series of Poker this weekend, $8.5 million. He's 21, joins us tomorrow on the Kevin. I'm hoping he's going to buy the station. I think that's what I'm praying for.
Thanks a lot, man. Thanks. I was waiting to watch it on TV. You just blew it for me, man. You just
told
me who won.
It's already been on. They've already aired it. They aired it last night.
Great. Thanks a lot. Ruined it. Ruiner.
Ralph's being funny because Bean said this yesterday before it aired. And a whole bunch of people that were watching it, you know, night by night were a little upset.
I didn't realize that. By the way, Yankees win the World Series. All right, time for the showbiz beat now. Here's Ralph.
Bean didn't know something was on television, by the way.
Gotta like that.
Oh, Jessica Alba.
Oh!
You are a beautiful, beautiful woman. Now shut up.
Really?
She was interviewed last night. At a party for a celebrity photographer named Mark Liddell, who's done a bunch of beautiful photo shoots with a ton of gorgeous Hollywood starlets.
Right.
The book is called Exposed, 10 Years in Hollywood. And Jessica, while being interviewed about the book, said, "I never feel sexy. I never do, and that's the truth." So the poor 28-year-old smoking hot babe just never feels sexy. She just doesn't have it.
Look, here's my answer to every super smoking hot girl that says that. You should try it not being hot. It's way worse.
But she doesn't feel she is, Kevin.
Yeah, okay.
She never feels sexy.
Tell that girl to shut up.
They said, how about when you're in a, you're all dolled up and they've done your hair and your makeup and you're doing a gorgeous photo shoot like in this book. Do you feel sexy then? No, I'm always wondering when my next break is. I want to call home and talk to my husband or talk to my friends or check on my daughter. I'm never thinking I'm sexy.
Hey, shut up.
Wow.
They say, well, you have a daughter now, Honor. And how do you feel about your daughter getting into show business footsteps? I definitely don't want her to do that. Anything but that, she said. So she never feels sexy.
Shut up right now.
And show business is a horrible job, apparently.
These girls, man, they're getting on my neck.
Hand it over. Hand it over right now. Your SAG card, your after card, everything. Give us all your credentials and go work at an Arby's in Iowa. Get out of my show business now. Get out.
We have to now categorize her as sound down only, I guess.
Look, I imagine a lot of people have, you know, doubts or fears or whatever.
Of course,
you're that hot, keep it to yourself.
Look, and when you're a star, by the way, it's the greatest life there is.
Yeah.
Rich and famous rules. Let's face it.
And she's not good enough to start pointing fingers about acting in
show
business.
No, she is not a good actress.
Well, there is that.
She is way hot, and she's extremely likable, but she's no super talent.
Right.
So just love the fact that you've been blessed. God came down, touched your pretty little forehead, made you one of the anointed ones. Just roll around in that, and just thank everyone, and just be so grateful. Be so grateful.
And if you feel bad about yourself, keep it to yourself. We don't want to hear that.
Rob Pattinson. He's another one. Guy from Twilight. Us Weekly this week reports him talking about his sexy image. He says he can't understand why anyone finds him sexy. He's lost every girl he's ever wanted, he said to someone else. He's a bit manic depressive, he confesses, and also adds that his personal hygiene habits are disgusting.
Well, that's certainly something he can't help.
No. I wonder all the girls left for someone else who didn't stink. Like blue cheese dressing that's been sitting on the counter for too long.
Hippies, I mean, period. Hippies. Been saying that my whole life. Be saying it till I die. F*** hippies.
Is this our new segment, Rich, Famous, Pretty People Complain?
Yes. Yeah. This is called Shut Up, Hollywood. Yeah. A new segment. You know who else is shut up? Nicolas Cage.
What's he talking about?
Well, Nicolas Cage owes $6 million in back taxes to the IRS.
Right.
Dude. He is suing his former money manager, saying he was led down a path of financial ruin. It's an actual quote from the court documents.
Led down a path of financial ruin.
He's broke now. He's broke and he owes $6 million in back taxes. And he's saying his financial advisor led him down a path of financial ruin.
He made him buy 20 houses.
He is not responsible for his lifestyle whatsoever. Let's take a look at how Nicolas Cage spent his money, shall he?
Oh, good.
Let's look at his expenditures, which were listed by New York Magazine. These were tabulated by New York Magazine. One jet, two yachts, three castles, two islands in the Bahamas, a dozen or so mansions. They're not really sure how many. A Beverly Hills Bel Air home. Let's see. He's got a billiard room in that Bel Air home that has a 1955 Jaguar parked inside the billiard room. It was built around the car.
Wow.
An expensive array of shrunken heads.
What?
You heard me.
Is that real?
Yes. 50 cars, including a $500,000 Lamborghini. Almost $2 million worth of comic book purchases. While portraying an alcoholic and leaving Las Vegas, he hired an on-set drinking consultant poet to work with him.
What did you say?
He hired, at his own expense, an on-set drinking consultant poet. A drunken poet to work with him while he played a drunk in leaving Las Vegas.
Drinking consultant poet.
You can see
that could
how
be your next job, Ralph.
How his money manager led him down a path of financial ruin because he was living a very cautious, very fastidious lifestyle.
I'm no brain when it comes to finances, but certainly couldn't he just sell an island?
Seems like.
And be all right?
Yeah.
Sell a mansion, sell a house,
sell a
car?
I don't know how the market is for islands these days.
So sell two of them.
I just know that when you have 35 cars and you go out to buy 15 more, there ought to be some bells going off that, hey, this is expensive.
By the way, these are purchases. I have no idea whether he actually owns any of this stuff anymore or not. It's
this is a catalog of what he's
got in his backyard. These are his purchases over the past 10 years they've tabulated here. So who knows what he still has and doesn't have.
Well, plus hair plugs. You didn't even mention those.
That.
If he's saying broke, teeth. He must have gotten rid of all of it. Wow.
I'm more of a money protector.
No, not really.
No,
a couple of divorces, too. In the last
2 years. Two divorces.
Right,
he's got Kal-El. He's got the first son of Krypton that he's got to raise.
Right. Yeah, he sure does.
He's got Superman to look after.
That's true.
So there's a lot going on in his life. And my last part of Shut Up Hollywood is Dina Lohan talking to her husband Michael Lohan.
Oh dear God!
Michael has released more recorded phone conversations he had. This one is with his former wife Dina, and they're both concerned about Lindsay Lohan's drinking and drugging.
Yeah.
And Dina reveals in this phone call that Lindsay was dating Heath Ledger at the time of his overdose death.
Which
when
isn't true.
When she's drunk or takes an Adderall with it, she will do something like Heath Ledger did in a second without thinking. And she was dating Heath when he died. I don't know if you know that, but I know because I would drop her off and they were friends very, very close. Okay, so that f***ed her up. And right after that is when Samantha was around.
Yeah, so it drove her right into the arms of a vagina. Upset her so much.
I don't believe she was dating Heath Ledger, by the way.
She might have had a
She might have met him.
She might have been partying with Heath Ledger.
Right. Yeah, I guess.
So that's her parents that are bringing out that info.
Yeah.
Well, her mom had the conversation with her father in what she assumed was a private conversation, and Michael Lohan is releasing all these recorded phone conversations.
He's a prince, isn't he?
He's a good man.
Yeah.
Like Ralph, him. You can't believe how crazy Lindsay Lohan's tweets are, though. I mean, she is so weird and so random. She tweets things like, I love Time Warner Cable, and things like that. It's just, she's like Tracy Morgan now. I don't know what's going on with her in her head.
There only was some way for me to avoid reading Lindsay Lohan's tweets.
I want to
know
now.
Yeah, I'm bringing it up to suggest that she's got so many problems that her parents are almost not even at the top of the list anymore.
You could pull an entire season of Celebrity Rehab by herself. Her father makes tapes about her and releases them to the public. She's a human! And on those tapes, she sounds a lot like that crying boxer in the ring making apologies. Please leave Lindsay alone.
All right.
Given her parents, I'm surprised she's as functional as she is.
No kidding.
She
made it this
pair.
Far.
They're quite the pair. I'm looking forward to the next one.
Who's, the next kid?
Yeah, the next sister? Kid, the sister.
Allie.
We'll see what happens with her.
Oh, wow.
She's going to be good.
Only good things.
Yeah. Today's celebrity birthdays: New York Jets former USC Trojan quarterback Mark Sanchez celebrates his 23rd birthday today. UFC fighter Mauricio Shogun Rua is 28. Leonardo DiCaprio turns 35 years old today. Carson Kressley is 40 years old. Calista Flockhart celebrates her 45th birthday. Demi Moore is 47. Stanley Tucci is 49. And Andy Partridge of XTC fame is 56 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
You are listening to the Kevin Beach on a Wednesday. Your chance at Weezer tickets. You like the Weezer? We got the Weezer for you coming up later on this hour. Right now, though, oh, this is...
Yeah!
Lisa May, you and me want to go out for some coffee right now?
Wait, let's do that.
How dare you?
I think that's an excellent idea.
Here's what it said. I know that there are people who are new listeners to the Kevin and Bean Show and some people who maybe don't listen very often. Here's what it says in the official online Kevin and Bean glossary about our next guest. Sam, the Armenian comedian, is a poor comic of unlimited confidence. He believes he is incredibly talented regardless of how often he is told otherwise. He is known to dabble in ventriloquism and heavy metal music with similarly dismal results. His appearances are often train wrecks of unintentional comedy that only Kevin appreciates. Ladies and gentlemen, the Armenian comedian on the air on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Sam.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing? Thank you for everything. You supported is excellent in my share with you, with my life. It's out of sight.
Right. Are you high right now, Sam?
I'm high forever. I'm going to die high. I'm alive. High means Armenian, by the way.
I know. H-Y-E. That's what we've heard.
You've told us that.
That's what we've heard,
5,000 times.
So, Sam, we do everything we can to keep you off the air, but we understand that you've been driving the office crazy, calling Alex, calling Dave, calling everybody, because you believe that you have some sort of gig booked with us, some sort of musical appearance on the calendar. What's going on?
Yes, I'm multi-talented, as you know.
Absolutely.
And I've been practicing the last 6 months on keyboard. That's what you heard, the last song that you heard from me. And I played it, and I'm ready. I'm just jamming, I'm ready.
Okay. What is the, what's the status of you opening up our Christmas show?
Okay, I have a band lined up.
Right.
And I'm going to do yodel show, the only Armenian yodelist.
You're going to do a yodel show?
Yeah, yodel show on the air before Christmas, show on the radio or on the stage, whatever you want. And I'm ready with my band, with all my top-notch music.
Sure. Okay, I want to make sure I understand. So every year we put on an acoustic Christmas concert that features lots of popular bands that we play. And by the way, I believe we have details on this coming Monday. I believe we have details about this year's show. But somehow you're under the impression that you're opening the show and that your act is going to include yodeling?
Well, I want to do on the radio the yodeling, but my band on the acoustic show is ready.
Okay. You want to do on the radio yodeling? So does that mean you want to give us a little sample now?
Yeah.
Okay. The Armenian comedian.
Yodelay, yodelay, yodelay.
Really good. Right, that's top notch.
That's I've never heard anything
that's
like
professional
it.
Level
I will
yodeling.
Say that.
Is there nothing this guy can't do? Sam, why are you under the impression that you're playing on our concert, though? That's the part that has escaped me. I don't understand where you got that idea.
Lightning told me.
Oh, yeah. No, he's...
Yeah.
No, that's...
Really?
He knows more than we do about this, so he's probably right, Sam. I mean, that's a pretty cool gig.
Good. When... I'm not joking. It's always in my subconscious mind that I'm going to be on stage. Now, the last time you dropped the curtain on me, now I'm going to open the curtain. How about that?
Last year, for people who didn't hear, we did an April Fool's comedy night with a bunch of big comedians, and Sam was last, and he said hi, and we dropped the curtain. And everyone laughed and left. And Sam, undaunted, turned to us and said, I killed them.
He considered that a successful appearance.
Yeah.
So aren't you nervous that if we say you can play this gig, that we'll do the exact same thing to you again, Sam?
No, I'm not nervous at all. As long as my name is up front and everybody is listening, who cares what I do?
Okay. All right, good. You want to hear a little of, is this maybe one of the songs you're going to do? Got to give us a little Samsational.
Yes.
Yeah? Okay. What about Hey Mama, Hey Papa?
Oh, that one too.
How about Hey Teenager, Stop Spraying Bullets?
Yeah.
Are you going back to the hits?
Yeah. Oh,
all the classics. Yeah. Greatest hits tour.
Well, I mean, you know, people don't only want to hear your new stuff.
That is true.
They want to hear the songs they know.
That they can sing along to.
How about Jazzy Girl? How about that one? How about bringing this one out?
Hey, Jazzy Girl. Why don't you come to me?
Okay, let me ask you a question before. I'd like to start that over, but I want to ask you a question. Is this at the beginning of rehearsing the keyboard or near the end of rehearsing the keyboard for 6 months?
Well, listen, that some sessioner is like put on the keyboard plays by itself. That's introduction.
Oh,
but
I see.
But the rest I played, yes.
I see, okay.
Hey, Jazzy Girl, why don't you come to me and make me feel good?
Yeah, you can kind of tell where he takes over.
All right, well, listen.
I'd like to suggest that you end with that one. Because I think that'll bring down the house, I think.
Yes.
Yeah.
We're almost out of time, Armenian comedian. We can't give you any more details because, as I mentioned, they're coming Monday on the Kevin and Bean Show, the details about this year's Acoustic Christmas Concert. I believe, just for planning purposes, I believe it's going to be held in Albuquerque, New Mexico this year. I hope that's not going to be a problem for you in terms of travel.
Well, no. It's going to be fine.
We're movers.
Everything's going to be fine.
Okay, good. We decided to spread it around.
On the moon, you invite me, I'll be on the moon. No worries.
Okay, right, we would like you on the moon then.
That would even be better. So right now it's scheduled for Albuquerque. So we'll give you the details as we get a little bit closer. But before you go, before we hang up, do you have a joke for our listeners today before we say goodbye, Sam?
Sure. You know what the Mickey Mouse suit?
Oh, how dare you? How dare you?
Sometimes it happens.
Armenian comedians tried to tell a joke here.
All right, sorry, go ahead.
You're the only one who likes them.
Good point, Kevin.
Or whatever your name is.
Whoever.
All right, go ahead, Sam.
Sorry, Sam, go ahead.
What the snow... what the Mickey Mouse said
to the snowman... He's not done yet. All right, say it again, Sam. I'm sorry, we couldn't hear you.
What the Mickey Mouse said to the snowman? Gee, if I were your place, I will freeze my bees...
Wow. I was playing Thriller, Bean.
Yeah.
I would like to suggest that I was doing the right thing.
You made the right decision.
Yeah. And you'll tell some jokes on that when you open, too, right? It's going to be music?
Everything. Okay. I'm going to say so much things.
Excellent.
And so much things.
And
okay.
You're going to bring your ventriloquist dummy, too?
Yeah, I'm trying to bring my... You know what?
All right, we'll see you in Albuquerque.
The thing that you're asking me to do, I think I'm going to do the whole concert.
That's what I'm talking about.
Okay, all right.
That's right.
We got to go, Armenian comedian, so we'll see you in New Mexico, all right?
All right. Take care, guys. Thank you for everything.
No worries.
Supportive of all
all right, we got to go.
Right.
All right. Bye now. We've had a long relationship with Harvey Levin from TMZ.com.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he gives us a lot of scoops.
Yes, he does.
But you get the idea that he's holding back on some of the better stuff, right? Like some of the stuff that he can't put on the site or whatever. You'd think they have like a vault or someplace where they keep all the good stuff.
Sure.
So we were asking him about Carrie Prejean. The story was she was former Miss California. She was going for Miss USA. They asked her about the gay marriage. She came out against it. Then all the, you know, everything went down. And then the pictures showed up of her with a topless, and then she said it was wind, and she wasn't aware of it.
Right.
Now there's a video, apparently, that is her helping herself to herself, basically,
right.
Is what
right.
it is.
And part of the bigger story with Carrie Prejean is that she's pretending to be a victim, as if she's being persecuted. She's making it sound like she got fired from the Miss USA pageant organization because of her views, which nothing could be further from the case. She's just a bad person. That's basically what's going on here. She got fired because she doesn't show up to her events and she was unavailable and she just wasn't willing to fulfill the duties of being Miss California. But she's written this big book and she's out on a book tour right now. And now she's got, you know, the solo sex tape out that apparently somebody has seen. We certainly haven't seen it. Harvey has. Why hasn't he shared? Why can't he hook a brother up?
So Mike and I took lightning and a camera and we ambushed Harvey. Now, we've done this one time before and it was pretty successful.
Yeah.
So we went to TMZ.com, mm-hmm. where they shoot the TV show and everything, and we showed up at Harvey's office, and he was not in the office at the time. So Mike and I decided,
well, that seems good.
Hey, maybe we should sit down at the computer and do a mm-hmm. little search and mm-hmm. see what we could find.
All right, good.
I don't think we're going to find it on the site. You got to go to his archive stuff.
How do I find his archive stuff?
Go to the folder that says secret stuff.
Secret stuff I don't want anyone to see?
It says something says like Spank Bank or...
Tyra Banks is a big fat whore.
Is that ours?
That's on his computer?
Really?
That's weird.
I remember because he asked for it one time because he thought it was funny. He'd never use it, but this was on his...
Tyra Banks is a big fat whore.
Tyra is a whore, a big f***ing whore.
Big fat, big fat, big fat, whore, whore, whore. Big fat, big fat, big fat, whore, whore, whore.
All right, so he's not there for a little while, and we start searching. We can't figure out... You know, we look through all of his folders. We look for pictures. We look for topless. We search for nude.
Mm-hmm.
Clean. Nothing on there.
Really?
Okay. Did you search strumming a banjo?
No, we did not.
Okay.
We didn't think of that one.
Okay.
But, I mean, it was if CSI got there before us and installed everything new and there was nothing on it. Right. Nothing.
Wow.
And there was nothing in his drawers either. Something really
shit. The drawers are empty?
Yes.
It was like visiting the office setup at IKEA. Well, not like a real office. Yeah. It was just like the stuff they have for you to sit down at and check out the furniture.
So clearly what that says to me is there's a fake panel in the wall or something like that. And he's got a vault somewhere with all the good stuff,
That's exactly what we were thinking. But we had to wait a little while because he was on the phone. So we started just looking up sites that we found funny. And we left one up on his computer when he walked in. And he wasn't necessarily thrilled to see it.
Hey, how are you? I'm okay. How are you?
Good. Always a pleasure, Harvey.
Yeah, man. Always a pleasure, dude. Oh, guys.
You know what? Come on. Like, you don't have two guys, one horse.
I don't have two guys, one horse.
You do now.
I do now.
Now it's on your history.
Yeah, now the sheriff's
now the FBI probably get it.
Thanks a lot.
I marked it as a favorite, too.
So that happened.
Excellent.
So one day, there's going to be a case that involves Harvey Levin, and it's going to say, and officers found two guys, one horse in his browser.
Right. So then we start getting to the nitty-gritty. And by the way, you can see the video at kevinandbean.com. You can watch the whole video of us.
Not two guys, one horse.
No.
Okay.
No, this is us ambushing.
The visit to TMZ. Right.
Yes. And so then we start talking about the video and how he's seen it and what happened to it specifically.
I looked at this for like 4 seconds, and I said no.
And then you put it?
And then I didn't put it anywhere. I said
where?
No. Well, the guys do
the
what they do.
The guys do what they do.
Right.
What do the
and
guys do?
They don't
that's
publish it.
Lube up and go be by themselves.
So apparently he doesn't have it, but he was leading us to believe there was one person...
Okay.
In the building,
good.
Who was the keeper of the bad things.
Oh.
Good.
So we decided that we would try to go desk to desk.
How do you look at Carrie Prejean naked and say no? How do you not look at that and say yes?
That is a great question. So then Harvey has to take a call, and then he gets upset a little.
I'm in the middle of a story that is kind of important.
Maybe a desk-by-desk search isn't what you need.
You're not going to do a desk-by-desk.
But that's what you're looking to get if you're not careful.
Really?
Do you have that kind of time? Or?
Did you meet the bouncer in the front?
I did, and we've already made sweet with him. It's all right. We're in there. We're good.
So Harvey has to run, take a call, and on our way out, we tried to... You know, find a little info.
Really? I told you guys, no newsroom. You've got to go. You cannot go to newsroom.
Like,
no
check
desk
behind
desk.
You. Check behind
gotta
you.
Gotta go.
Check behind you on that pad.
This was not part of the deal.
Grab that fold.
I told you, you've got to go. No desk-to-desk search. Come on, let's go. Go make me call security.
Yeah. Oh, God, Kevin's used that line. Don't make me call security. That doesn't mean anything.
But they have security. They really do have security.
Damn it.
And they could kick our asses in a second. Unfortunately.
Did you feel like a 60 Minutes news crew, like trying
sort of
to break wide open some sort of national security
sort
story
of,
here?
But we love Harvey. It's not that we were trying to hurt him, but he can't bogart that stuff.
It's true.
Absolutely.
What good does it do to have a friend that has that video?
What he doesn't get is that there's an appropriate way to behave with stuff like this in a business sense.
Right.
I was hoping he would behave in the appropriate way for friends.
Right.
Right.
And he's not getting that.
Yeah.
Be a bro, right? That's all you're saying.
So, how did we burn them? You know that newsroom where they filmed the TV show and
uh-huh,
they write
sure.
the stories up on it.
Mm-hmm.
As we were leaving, Psycho Mike
I drew a wiener on Harvey's board.
So that happened.
We got him.
So we didn't really see the video as much, but we did draw a wiener on his board.
Well, it's something. I
That's something.
That's not much, to be honest.
You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show, where we want to hook you up with some Weezer tickets right now. It's, in fact, it's a Weezer prize package, including tickets for the UCI Brand Event Center date on January 11th. Tickets go on sale this Saturday at 10. A copy of the new album called Ratitude and the Weezer Snuggie. 1-800-520-1067. If you love the Weezer, it's time to name me a river.
You want to see Weezer? All you have to do is name a because his name is
Jamie River.
Rivers Cuomo.
Jamie River.
That's how we tied it all in.
Jamie River.
Yeah, we're creative.
Omar has given up. God bless him. Yeah, but that's how the game is played. In honor of Rivers Cuomo, the leader of Weezer, all we're asking you to do is come up with the answer. All the answers involve famous rivers, so you can name me a river. Who's our first contestant?
We have Dustin. Hi, Dustin.
Hey, how you guys doing?
We are good. What did you think of Mr. Timberlake's intro?
Oh, it was amazing.
Yeah,
man,
that's
amazing.
What I thought.
All right, all the answers have river in them. If you're right, you go into a drawing, and then at the end, Lisa May will tell you who wins the Weezer prize package. Here's question number one for you. This famous young actor once played the young Indiana Jones, and he died of an overdose at the age of 23 outside the Viper Room. Name me that river.
Rivers Phoenix.
Close enough. River Phoenix is the answer.
There's only one
for.
Of them, but that's all right. Nicely done. Hold on.
All right, you're in the drawing. Thanks for the call.
All right, let's go to Tony Lynn.
Hey, Kevin and Bean. Hey, listen to me.
Good morning.
What's going on, TL?
I'm good.
All right, listen up. Name me a river. This river in South America shares a name with a very popular website for buying books, DVDs, CDs, and the like.
Huh?
Amazon is correct. Amazon, yes, there you go.
Nicely done. Hold on.
Two for two.
All right, let's go to Christina. Hi there.
Hi, guys.
Welcome to Name Me a River.
This hideous old female comedian recently won Donald Trump's Celebrity Apprentice TV show. Name Me a River.
Joan Rivers.
Yes.
Correct.
Exactly.
Three for three. Well
all
done.
Right. Let's go to Justin. Hi, Justin.
Hi, Kevin.
Hi, Justin.
Justin, somebody's going to come on here and fail. Is it going to be you?
Yes.
No pressure.
Yeah.
No pressure, yes, but no right. One's missed yet. Here we go.
This 2003 drama was a film directed by Clint Eastwood and starring Sean Penn. Name me a river.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it's a tougher one.
God.
Based on a popular book, became a movie that I believe Sean Penn won an Oscar for.
Has the word river in it.
That's a hint for you right there. That's half the answer right there.
Rivers. I don't know.
Mystic River is what we're looking
Mystic.
For.
Mystic.
Oh,
man.
Oh, sorry.
Nice try. Thanks for the call.
You did get the hard one. Let's go to Mark. Hey, Mark.
Hey, how's it going? Hey, Lisa May.
Hi, Mark.
Hey.
Although he is the quarterback for the San Diego Chargers, this player was originally drafted by the Giants back in 2004. Name me a river.
Oh, shoot. It's obviously Rivers. God, just darn it.
If he had a first name, it would be...
Yeah, I know. It's not Jerome.
He just beat the Giants this weekend, in fact.
I know. I'm a hockey fan, not a football fan.
It's not going to serve you well right now.
I know.
Oh, my.
You're looking for Philip Rivers is the name we're
Philip.
Looking for. All right.
Oh, well.
Nice try, though. Thanks for playing. All right, we got time for a couple more.
Let's go to Natalie. Hi, Natalie.
Hi. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Natalie.
Hi.
Hi.
Leave Natalie alone.
Natalie, we are going to ask you for the name of the longest river in the world. It is often associated with Egypt, but it actually goes through tons of other countries, including Ethiopia, Kenya, Uganda, Tanzania, Rwanda, so many more. What is it?
Nile River.
The Nile. Very well done.
Ooh, geography lesson there.
Hold on one more. Let's go to Deanna.
Hi.
Hi.
All right, Deanna, final contestant. This 1992 film was directed by the great Robert Redford and helped cement a young Brad Pitt's place as a genuine movie star. Name me that river.
Was it The Legend of the Fall?
Yes, it was.
The Legend of the Fall River?
Oh, wait. A River Runs Through It is the name of the film. We were
never heard of that.
I know.
The hint was they all had river in the name. That's it. All right, we got a lot of people in the drawing. Lisa, who wins the Weezer prize package?
The winner is Tony Lynn.
Tony Lynn. Congratulations, Tony.
Thank you so much, you guys.
You're very welcome.
You got the new CD. What?
What are you guys doing over there?
I know. Hey, he's trying to make sure I play the outro. Uh-oh. Thanks for playing Name Me a River.
Thanks for playing our game. Name me a river.
Name me a river.
See, because his name is Rivers Cuomo.
Name me a river.
wouldn't blame me if you want to listen to Big Boy now.
Ralph, you got something going on you want to tell the people about?
I do. It's a great event. I wanted to give people the heads up. It's tonight at Barkin' Bitches.
Barkin' Bitches.
Which is the name of a boutique, a pet store that I frequent from time to time. But more importantly, they've got a great rescue program there. They have rescued and rehomed about 1,000 dogs so far.
That's wow. Awesome.
They rescue from the pounds and from other sources, and they clean them up, and they heal them up, and then they find them new homes. And so they're having a fundraiser tonight to continue their good work. It's $25 at the door, but you get hors d'oeuvres and cocktails, and celebrities are going to be there. They're going to have a silent and live auction, a raffle. They are looking for help to rehome the next 1,000 dogs there at Barkin' Bitches. So you can go to barkinbitches.com for more information, or you can go to dcupssavingteacups.com also. So there'll be some women of various sizes also participating.
This is so up your alley.
It really is. It's a great cause. It's 505 North Fairfax Avenue here in Los Angeles, which is just off of Melrose, by the way, if you want to stop by tonight, 7 o'clock. November the 11th, that's tonight, 7 o'clock, and you can contact me for more details, too, in case you missed any of that.
It is the world-famous K-Rock at 8:55.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show on a Wednesday. Incubus on the way, Silver Sun pickup, Slightly Stupid now. Speaking of Slightly Stupid!
Oh, no, you didn't! No way!
That just happened!
Oh, my God!
Ralph is here with that.
Joe was beating. Yes, I would like to take that back.
You just play Bean right off.
Come on.
I'm sorry. Interesting list from Forbes magazine today of the top 10 biggest moneymakers in television.
Oh. Biggest money.
Sometimes we do the biggest money-making celebrities, but that's from across the board. This is just TV. And I thought these numbers were very interesting, given the level of talent some of these people have. For instance, number 10, $9 million a year goes to David Caruso from CSI Miami.
Dude.
That surprises me.
Just taking off his sunglasses.
He does that well, though.
He does do that.
Nobody takes off their sunglasses like him.
I believe he's also a producer on that show. That's usually where some of these stars make their money, is by attaching an executive producer or producer credit to their title, so they get money from syndication and that kind of stuff, too. Hugh Laurie, for example, is not only the lead in-house, but also is an executive producer as well. Makes $10 million a year, which is good for number 9 on that.
Wow, that's only 9.
Top 10. Did you see it this week, by the way, House?
Didn't.
No.
Oh, so great. So great. So great. Only that show can deal with, like, euthanasia and also make you laugh at the same time.
That show is head and shoulders above.
Good combination.
House decides he wants to go to an 80s party.
Yes.
And so he shows up dressed from the 1880s with, like, a powdered wig.
Very.
It was all very funny.
Comedian, says, they didn't specify.
Comedian and game show host Jeff Foxworthy's 8th on the list for $11 million.
Wow.
Kiefer Sutherland from 24, $13 million, makes him number 7th on the list. Howie Mandel is 6th on the list with $15 million a year. Deal or no deal? I'm guessing deal.
Yeah.
The Office star Steve Carell, who makes $20 million a year, puts him 5th on the list. Two and a Half Men's Charlie Sheen is 4th on the list with $21 million a year.
Oh, my God.
Now, you would think that's got to be the top end for someone to make $21 million a year, right? You'd be so wrong. Three other members on this list are higher. Ryan Seacrest, host of American Idol, producer of Keeping Up with the Kardashians and other television programs.
Other quality programs on our TV.
Makes $38 million a year.
80.
Per year.
That's each year. Donald Trump, who makes most of his money now from product endorsements and The Apprentice, hosting The Apprentice, makes $50 million a year via television.
Hmm.
And the number one on the list, Simon Cowell from American Idol and also America's Got Talent and his other projects, $75 million per year.
Per year?
Per year. A year.
So in 2 years, he would make $150 million.
That's exactly how that math shakes down. Hmm. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. What about Oprah, by the way? Doesn't she always top that list?
That's funny that she isn't on the list, now that you think about it.
I was surprised to see Tyra not on the list, too, because you did a list a few weeks ago that had her at $30 million a year.
Yeah. Maybe those are other sources. Maybe those are books and magazines and photo shoots and that kind of stuff. This is just TV revenue. So, interesting list. I thunk. People Choice Awards nominations were released yesterday.
Yes.
That's that for that story.
This is the big one. This is the one that actors wait their whole lives to get nominated for.
I hate that. In Touch magazine, we did how much money people are making. Here's an interesting list. How much money people are giving to charity. Drew Barrymore gave $1 million to the World Food Program last year.
Oh, that's awesome.
Leonardo DiCaprio gave $1.5 million to various eco-friendly green causes.
Mm-hmm.
Oprah, we were just talking about her, gave $2.4 million to her own Oprah Winfrey Foundation, which I think she is the sole member and sole beneficiary of, quite frankly. I think she gives money to herself.
I've gained weight.
But Angelina and Brad are the big record holders for celebrity charity givers. $13 million they gave out last year.
Gosh.
Wow.
To the Global AIDS Alliance, Doctors Without Borders, and to build homes in New Orleans. $13 million of their own money.
That is awesome.
Pretty impressive.
Yeah.
And Ashley Simpson apparently is being cheered up after being fired from Melrose Place by her husband, Pete Wentz.
Really?
In Touch magazine has photos of the couple and their son Bronx enjoying the day in Disneyland this past week. Apparently, Pete said he took Ashley to Disneyland to cheer her up. Did not work, however. She was told she wasn't a good enough actress to get on Pirates of the Caribbean, which is just sad. I didn't even know you had to be an actor to get on Pirates of the Caribbean.
I don't think you do.
Apparently, you do. They've got some kind of requirement.
How about that?
Yeah. Today's celebrity birthday is Mark Sanchez, quarterback for the New York Jets and formerly the USC Trojans, is 23 years old today. UFC fighter Mauricio Shogun Rua. I was pronouncing it wrong all morning and no one's corrected
me. Well, it's spelled Rua.
It is spelled Rua.
But they say Hua.
It is Hua because he's Brazilian and the R is H.
That's
in
correct.
Brazil. No wonder they never became a world power. 28
can't
years
keep their
old.
Lights on down there anymore.
That's right. 28 years old today. Leonardo DiCaprio is 35. Carson Kressley of Queer Eye is 40. Calista Flockhart, Ally McBeal, and Brothers and Sisters, 45. Demi Moore is 47 years old today. Stanley Tucci, very talented character actor, celebrates his 49th birthday. And Andy Partridge, singer, guitarist, songwriter for XTC. He is 56 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Daniel Craig is the man, you guys. He's not only James Bond in the movies. Like, that's not enough. If I'm James Bond in the movies, I don't care what else I do with the rest of my day because I'm James Bond in the movies, right?
Yeah. Right.
But Daniel Craig is out there starring on Broadway, getting great reviews for his show, A Steady Rain, which, Lisa May, I believe you saw.
I did.
And he's just terrific in it. He's taking the time after the show every night to come out and meet fans and pose for photographs and sign autographs. And, Kevin, you're saying he's even taken it a step further, if you can believe
it. Well, there's a story about meeting his fans outside the stage doors, and this couple complimented him on his acting, and then the dude saw his Rolex GMT. I'm not a watch guy, so I don't know. I think it's about $7,000 or something. It's a nice watch.
Wow. Okay.
And this guy says, hey, I'm a collector. I've always loved that watch. I don't have one, so that's amazing. And so Daniel Craig says, well, you could have it if you want it.
He just gave him the watch?
Who does that?
A $7,000 watch?
He offered him the watch. I don't think the guy ended up taking it because he was a little, you know, surprised or shocked or whatever. And, you know, Daniel Craig walked away.
No kidding.
Offered him a $7,000 watch.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, you know what? You can have it.
And by the way, I don't care, and we were speculating about this off-air yesterday, I don't care if he gets the watches for free and it's no big deal for him to get another one. It's still an incredibly cool thing to do for a fan is to offer to give the watch right off your wrist.
It
even
really
if you get
is.
Another one for free, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So Daniel Craig is the man, and every time we see a story that involves any of the James Bonds, we always think, I wonder what our old friend Sean Connery has to say about it, because he seems to keep up with the news pretty much. So we asked producer Alex to line up Mr. Connery, and I believe we have him on the phone. Hi, Sean.
Good morning, Barack and Michelle. How are you?
Well, that's, you know, the long history of ways you've greeted us. That's actually very pleasant. Thank you, Mr. Connery. Good to talk to you, too.
You're welcome. Yourself.
Okay, wow. There it is. Didn't take long.
Wow. Oh, listen to those gaping
Oh. That's Lisa. What did she do?
Like a bagpipe, she sounds. Somebody stepped on a bagpipe. No, it's the broad talking again.
Sean, why are you, why are you always so angry?
You know why I'm angry?
Why?
Because
why?
You, that's why.
All right. Well, listen, we'll try to keep this short and painless. You heard us describing
the.
Well,
it's long and painful already.
You heard us describing the story, and I gotta tell you, Daniel Craig seems like a stand-up guy. He meets his fans after his Broadway show. He takes pictures with his fans. He offers the watch off his wrist. Why do you hate this guy so much? He seems like a great dude.
He is a stand-up guy. He stands up before he bends over and grabs his ankles and
no, come on.
You have to stand up to
well,
do that.
He did offer it to the dude. of the couple.
Offered what to the dude?
The watch is what I'm saying. The watch.
Oh, the watch. Yeah, I'm sorry. I don't listen to your program. I wasn't familiar with that part of the story.
Yeah, I apologize.
Yes. He offered a watch to someone?
A $7,000 watch to one of his fans.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know, he's given a lot to his fans.
Yeah.
For example, several of his fans. Yes,
that's just absolutely not true. You're making that up out of the whole cloth.
Crabs. I know he's given crabs to several gentlemen.
You don't know that. That's you're just making that up, too.
He's really taken more from his fans than he's given, though, in my opinion.
Yeah?
And
what
by
do you
that,
mean by
I
that?
Mean f***ing
okay. Well, look,
don't
why
and the face. Let's not forget in the face.
Okay.
Why can't you just accept that he's James Bond? He's a very popular actor. He's, by all accounts, a nice guy, and he takes the time to be nice to his fans. And why is that bad?
Why can't you accept the fact that he loves to go?
Because you don't have anything to base that on. You're making it up because you're a jealous, old, bitter man.
Well, first of all, ooh, I'm in show business.
It's on.
You live on an island.
That's correct.
Where your equipment rarely works.
That is true, also true, unfortunately.
I am James Bond, first of all.
You were.
I've been in the industry for many years.
Right, yes.
And I also have given lots of things to my fans.
Is that right?
Oh. Yes. mostly.
Okay.
A lot of books.
Come on, John.
You know what
John.
I've given to my fans.
But have you given anything that they want?
Oh, they love it. You kidding me? Please. Me, Sean. That's what they often ask me when
all
they
right.
meet me in person. Could you autograph my face using your as a pen and your as ink?
Oh, I think we get it.
We need to hang up on this call right now.
Sure,
this has
take a look at
far.
My Scottish Sharpie, I say, as I pull out my
all right.
All right. Well, I guess we're just going to have to agree to disagree on Mr. Craig and his value, but I'm glad we got a chance to talk to you, Sean.
Well, I think we all can agree on the fact that you.
Yeah, mama, this must be my dream.
All right, that just happened. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 9:45.
This is the Kevin Bean Show. Ralph Garman joins us for the Showbiz Beat, and I have to ask Ralph, because I can't wait till Friday. How's Pirate Radio? Please tell me Pirate Radio is good.
It is very good. I really
good.
Enjoyed it. It is
it's
very entertaining 2 hours at the movies. A lot of people are kind of coming down this movie, I've heard, since I've seen it. Because they think it's sort of scattered and all over the place. There's not really one strong story telling the through line of the piece.
Right.
And I think that's okay with me. I really enjoyed it. Because it's really about the British comic actors. It's got a great cast. And it's about creating that atmosphere and sort of that vibe. It kind of reminds me of a British Animal House on a boat. You know, that comes kind of all over the place with the different frat brothers and that kind of stuff. It's got that kind of vibe to it with all the different DJs who work at this floating radio station. And it's really fun, great soundtrack, so I really enjoyed it.
And it's a true story, right?
Based on true events, yes. Yeah. It's not literally a true story.
For folks who don't know, in the UK, the government back in the day, ran all the radio stations and refused to play rock and roll. So people went and set up their own radio stations just off the coast on a boat and played Kinks and Rolling Stones and all those records that couldn't get airplay and apparently just had the party time of their lives out there. In fact, they played what they wanted, if I recall correctly.
They did. It was like a big jackboat.
Anyway, Philip Seymour Hoffman plays one of the guys in it. There's a great cast, and it opens up on Friday night. I heard that you had seen a screening of it, and I was just keeping my fingers crossed that it was good news. So I'm glad to hear that. That's awesome.
Reese Darby's in it.
Love him.
Murray from Flight of the Conchords.
He's the best.
Reese Iffens, who played the weird roommate of Hugh Grant in Notting Hill. Remember him? The guy shows up naked all the time.
Awesome.
He's so almost unrecognizable in this. He plays the coolest British DJ in the world.
No kidding.
Yeah. Shows up in a big velvet suit and everything. It's very entertaining.
Is this the theme
Nick
song?
Fry.
Everybody look at me because I'm sailing on a boat.
Is that it?
Not so much.
Not that?
No, more 60s music on this.
All right.
Well, I'll look forward to hearing more on Ralph's Movie Beat on Friday. First, though, time for a look at what's going on in Hollywood.
Yeah. Sad news. Aaron Carter's off Dancing with the Stars. I don't know if you guys caught that or not last night.
Don't watch that program.
Sad news.
Don't care.
Sad news.
How about that?
Dancing with the Stars, Aaron Carter.
Yeah, she's good. I'm going to miss her.
Aaron Carter's a dude.
Oh, all right. I'll miss him then.
You ever watch Glee? You guys watching the Glee?
Of course.
Love the Glee.
I really like that.
Love the Glee. You know who is the has the hardest time of the entire cast?
Who has the hardest time with what?
With the newfound fame and with the fans and with the success of the show.
Who?
It's an actor named Kevin McHale. He plays the guy in the wheelchair.
Oh, no kidding.
Oh, yeah.
And thing is, that's solely for dramatic effect.
Yeah.
And so if he's walking through a mall or something, people start freaking out and they can't believe he's walking.
They think it's a miracle.
They think he's healed. Yeah.
How funny. That's a little...
I saw him at a movie screening. I was like, that dude could walk.
He's a faker.
Wow.
For some reason, people are shocked to discover that he's actually able to
I didn't know. Walk under I his wondered own power. If he was actually wheelchair bound or not.
I'm surprised the handicapped actors of America haven't been all up in arms suing the producers of Glee for not hiring casting handy capable appropriate
that
actors.
That guy's great.
He is
or
awesome.
Or hire somebody to break both of his legs.
Oh, even better. Let's sever his spine.
Yeah, so he can't walk.
Fix him.
You want the role so goddamn much? Take it.
Bill Murray was interviewed this weekend about his career and says he really misses the good old days of movie making. He said when he was making movies like Meatballs and Caddyshack, he said largely most of those scenes, even Ghostbusters 1 and 2, were improvised. They would cast funny people and everyone would sit around all day thinking up funny things to say. He said these days, with the cost of movie making, you can't afford to spend that kind of time goofing around the set, so he really pretty much has to improvise by himself or go write up the script, and he says he doesn't really enjoy the process as much anymore, which I can imagine.
Sure.
Although, did you see him in Zombieland?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
He was,
yes,
he yes. was. He was improvising his ass off in those scenes, and I thought he was very funny in that.
People are going to write, oh, you ruined it!
Too late. No. It's been out for like a month and a half.
It's on DVD now, I think.
I'm so mad at you.
You don't get to it by now. Screw you. I bit my tongue for so long with that news.
Ralph spoiled the whole Kaiser Soze thing for me last week. I was so pissed at him.
Finally got around to that, did you? And Michael Lohan continues his pursuit of Father of the Year by releasing yet more recorded conversations with himself and the rest of his family. This time it's with his ex-wife, Dina. Here they're having a conversation about Lindsay's drinking and drugging and reveal some information about Lindsay that we didn't know, largely that she was having some sort of relationship with Heath Ledger at the time of his death.
When she's drunk or takes an Adderall with it, she will do something like Heath Ledger did in a second without thinking. And she was dating Heath when he died. I don't know if you know that, but I know because I would drop her off and they were friends very, very close. Okay, so that... up, and right after that is when Samantha was around.
Yeah, so there you go.
Why are they taping all their phone calls in that house?
I think Michael's the one taping them. I don't think these people know they're being taped. I just think it's funny. I know because I dropped her off. Mom, I'm gonna go do drugs with Heath Ledger. Yeah, can you give me a ride?
I'm gonna drink and
sure. Get in, Lindsay. I'll drive you over there for your drinking and drugging with your friends.
Is there any other confirmation besides this effed up family that that's the truth?
Look, I don't know why Dina would lie in this context because she didn't know that this information was being recorded. It was just a conversation between her and her ex-husband about their daughter, so I don't know why she would make this up, but...
Hmm. We've hit a new low point.
Yes, we have, Murray. So funny in this show. Today's celebrity birthdays... New York Jets quarterback Mark Sanchez, who used to play... Stop. There it is.
Sanchita!
He used to play quarterback for the USC Trojans here locally in Southern California. He's 23 years old today.
Okay, so he's a racist.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, UFC fighter Mauricio Shogun Hua celebrates,
okay.
celebrates his 28th birthday today. Actor Leonardo DiCaprio celebrates his 35th birthday. TV personality Carson Kressley, he famously from Queer Eye for the Straight Guy, is 40 years old. Calista Flockhart from Brothers and Sisters and Ally McBeal is 45 years old. We weren't sure if she married Harrison Ford or not yet. Do we have any confirmation on that?
We might check in with him tomorrow.
Let's call him tomorrow and see what he says.
Okay.
Very good.
About their relationship.
Done.
Demi Moore is 47 years old today. Stanley Tucci turns 49. And Andy Partridge of XTC is 56 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
All right, it's the Kevin and Bean Show. We have a great show for you tomorrow. I don't know if you heard, but Hulk Hogan at one point tried out for Metallica.
What?
So that's good.
That's weird.
Comedian Kathy Griffin in the studio tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Oh, we have to ask her about her failed reality show.
The one that never even made it to the air?
Let's dance.
Let's see here. We have Joe Cada, who is the World Series of Poker winner.
I hate his brother, Al. He's a troublemaker.
Dude's 21, dropped out of college to play poker, just won $8.5 million.
Nice.
It's a miracle that they let Joe even in the tournament with a stain on his family name, isn't it?
He'd be on a no-fly list of some kind.
Absolutely. How did he even get to Vegas? He must have had to drive.
And more tickets for Weezer tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.
What's the time, man? Oh, heck.
You guys better go. You'll be late for your gig.
Oh, we don't want that, do we? Cat Corbett's coming up next with 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock music. How about the new one from Slipknot? How about that? How about Snuff by Slipknot as part of the 40 minutes nonstop next? Also, some Weezer-stained Muse, Blink, and more next on K-Rock.